we pass in the night, then just hand me a light and tell me you burn just like me. I'm a little bit steady, but still a little bit rolling stone. I'm a little bit heaven, but still a little bit flesh and bone. Little foul, little don't know where I am. I'm a little bit holy water, but still a little bit burning man. Burning man. Still just a burn, burn, burning man. Just a burning.
Festus, Crystal City, St. Genevieve.
Hi, neighbor. Hey, I noticed the new landscaping around your yard. Looks nice.
Hey, thanks. We're doing some home improvements, and we did it all with Potosi Lumber.
Really?
We replaced cabinets, added new carpets, put in storm doors, customized replacement windows, and more.
It's time for home improvements. See Potosi Lumber, Highway 21 in Potosi.
Victories were achieved, losses were suffered, odds were overcome, and the teams left it all on the gridiron. It's time to recap the week that was. It's time for the most in-depth sports coverage from the Parkland to Jefferson County. It's time for the Kohl's Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Hear the highlights from the previous week.
He'll fake the handoff to Raiden. He's back to throw. He's pressured. Lets it go over the middle. It's caught by Ziegler. Touchdown. North County takes the top off the defense that time. Cole Ziegler brings it in. 41 yards.
Here's a double handoff. Running through a tackle left side of the line and scoring is Austin Anderson. Assist there to Jaden Rystrom. And the Tigers are within one on the 16-yard touchdown scamper.
And they'll go with a keeper and Files. Files has a first down. He cuts back. Files to the 40, to the 30, to the 20. Files to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Caden Files, 56 yards.
So they're going to go for it here on fourth and goal from the 2. Gegg behind center. Gegg is going to hand it off to Brown. A reverse and now looking to throw to the end zone. And a catch for Logan Gegg. A trick play and Logan Trollinger ends up throwing it as Brown took the handoff. A reverse back to Trollinger and Trollinger throws it to Gegg, who started it off by handing it off to Brown.
Get the insight from the players and coaches themselves.
I think we got some guys, you know, this season that perhaps aren't going to be on a lot of guys' radar, but they're going to be able to do some really good things for us.
And I believe, yes, we do have the firepower that nobody else has had.
Each year we've been trying to progressively get into quote-unquote a blue-collar type mentality.
We go in thinking we're going to win district championships, state championships, make runs. I mean, we got to do what we can do.
Follow along on Twitter at MIMO Info Sports and at KJF Sports.
Hi, I'm Hannah Cole, and you're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Now, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, here's your hosting duo, Matt Greenwood and Sean Malone.
Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, it is the Week 8 edition of the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Hope you're all enjoying your Tuesday evening so far. We'll be taking you through all the action from Week 8 of the season that we covered. We'll also be joined by head coach of the St. Genevieve Dragons, Ken White, with a couple of his seniors along as well. And we'll have a little bit of fun with some NFL pick'em, too. It's Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Sean Malone joined by the regional radio sports crew. We've got program director Chad Speaker to my left. Andy Humphrey and Nick Lewis are to my right. Matt Greenwood making his way down to Farmington. He's the KJF sports director. He'll be here momentarily. Take a look at the J98 game of the week. Andy, North County and Potosi, two teams that have been up and down on the season as a whole so far and have been really up on the late. North County, impressive showing, beating that Potosi team 22-7. That's not an easy defense that they dropped 22 on.
No, it's not. I mean, Potosi's defense only gives up maybe one or two offensive touchdowns a game is what you're going to expect to get off them week in, week out. They got three this week, and they were able to hold defensively themselves against that running attack for Potosi. An inspired effort on senior night, and it really was the seniors that shined in this one. Colton Poorman had a good game at quarterback. Jalen Reed, a couple touchdowns on the ground, and Cole Ziegler receiving touchdown. Really three seniors there. You had Payson DeClue playing well on both the offensive and defensive lines. Just seniors all around were really leading the charge for this Raiders squad against Potosi that night, and it was a good win.
Good win for the North County Raiders, giving them a lot of momentum with the postseason. It's a little more than 1 week away now. On KREI, Chad, it was Lutheran North topping Farmington 56-27. This is kind of a loss that Farmington could really hang their hat on, because as a tough Lutheran North team, and Farmington, they kept pace with them. In fact, they led for a couple points in the game.
Yeah, they did. In fact, Sean, there were 57 seconds left in the first quarter, and we were during a break. I was talking to my color commentator, Kevin Thurman, and I said, I don't know how many thousands of games I've done, but I've never seen one like this, which is, that's what makes it fun. It's new and different every single time. And the interesting part is that there was less than a minute to go in the first quarter. Farmington was leading 13-12, and the Farmington defense had not made a tackle in the entire game. So, Farmington, I thought, gave them a pretty tough game. It wasn't, most of the game wasn't typical, the final 29-point margin. There was a one-point game midway through the third, but Lutheran North with just too many studs on their team.
That is Zubikane kid. He's tough.
Yeah, he's a 5'11 and 225-pound back.
That's an NFL build right there.
He can go through you, around you, over you, by you, past you, whatever it takes.
And on AM 1400, KJF, a tough loss for Festus to St. Francis Borja on their homecoming night, 50-7. And
You know, after the game, you could really hear it from head coach Rush Schmidt. He was kind of laying into the team a little bit after that game. Wasn't happy with the fight that they put up. I don't know, maybe it was the homecoming distractions that got to them a little bit, but they got a short week to prepare as they'll be playing on Thursday night on AM 1400 KJF as well.
Yeah, he was disappointed. And you know, Sean, it isn't always the wins and the losses that are either going to, you know, draw the ire or the praise of a coach. It's how you play compared to how you prepared that week. And he obviously didn't feel like his team, you know, win or lose in that one, played like he wanted them to.
And then on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game, Nick, you had coverage of this one. St. Genevieve topping DeSoto 14-0. That St. Gen defense showing their strength again. And this is against the DeSoto team that just topped Hillsborough a week ago.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, St. Gen's defensive line has really caused problems for Fredericktown and now DeSoto last week, holding them to 0 points in the game. And, you know, the St. Gen offense wasn't exactly what it was against Fredericktown, but they got enough points. They played defense all night long, despite giving up some yards whenever they needed to get a fourth down stop, they did. And that's 2 weeks in a row of eventfulness, shall we say, as they go through senior night and homecoming. 2 weeks that are a little bit tough to get through. Certain distractions certainly present, but St. Gen handling it well.
Other scores throughout the listening area from Friday night. Fox topped Sekman 49-0. Fox coach Brent Zinger talks about their outstanding rushing attack.
We ended up getting it going. We had three kids with over 100 yards rushing. Cole Elwood, Gavin McGinnis, and Bobby Nybert all eclipsed 100.
You know, this is actually a potential playoff matchup as well, these two in the same district. It's a five-team district. They're the two and the three. It's looking like it's pretty much set now, unless Jackson somehow loses this weekend. Jackson's going to be the one. And these two teams are going to have a first-round bye and then face each other week two in the playoffs. So it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they prepare this week to prepare for each other again in another 2 weeks after that game that they have coming up on Friday.
And you know what, I didn't really realize that on Friday night. That's a good thing to bring up, the potential playoff match against each other, because this late in the season, a lot of times coaches will hold back on the playbook a little bit. They don't want to extend their hand all the way out and show what they've got against each other, knowing that they could match up against each other. And you know, at this point, it would be a few weeks from now.
And they're two teams that are just that have done so well this year. Sekman's had more wins than they've ever had in a regular season. And Fox,
they're off to one of their best starts in a long time as well.
Absolutely. Two great teams. And, you know, seeing them matched up in the first playoff game that they're going to play this year, someone's going to have a disappointing end of their season. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting game to watch come early November.
Windsor top Cuba 36-34, and St. Pius knocked off Crystal City 46-8. St. Pius head coach Jerry Woods praised both his offense and his defense.
You know, I think the quarterbacks did a good job tonight reading their keys and throwing the ball, and then outstanding blocking by the offensive line and the receivers downfield. So, and our defense played lights out tonight.
Jackson, they beat Hillsborough 56-0, and St. Vincent top Grandview 42-0. St. Vincent head coach Tim Schumer says it was a good homecoming victory.
Yep, it's been fun. It's a good homecoming win in front of our alumni, so it was a fun night, and I'm glad the players were able to go out there and get the victory.
Valley Catholic, they topped Herculaneum 47-0. Valley head coach Judd Nagger on the game.
Kind of both. You know, we fumbled the opening kickoff. You know, just kind of hard to get into a rhythm, but we were able to score every time we got the balls. You know, we did some good things. You know, I thought the extra point team had it, you know, the best game they had all year.
Dexter, they top Central 13-7, and Fredericktown over Donovan 48-8. Fredericktown head coach Chuck Ford turned things around this week.
It went real well. Kids bounced back. They worked hard, and they knew that they had messed up against St. Jean, didn't play very well, and they knew it was all because of their lack of effort. They worked on that all week long, and we came in with right frame of mind and hit it on the field.
You know, this is a Fredericktown win, too, where Coach Ford also said Friday night during the end zone show that he told his kids after the game, this is as good as we think you guys can be. This is what we've been expecting from you guys all season long. So keep an eye on Fredericktown heading into the postseason. Jefferson, they top Chaffee 56-6. Blue Jays head coach Alex Rugley said he's proud of his team's effort.
Going from the first and second quarter there, and then Chaffee scored a late touchdown on us right before halftime. Drove the ball against us. You know, came out in the third quarter and played some pretty good defense. Running game was rolling and kept it on the football with Andrew Graves, Colby Ott, and Dylan Schnitzler there in the late third quarter and in the fourth quarter, as well as Tommy Moon run the ball real well, the quarterback. Just really proud of the kids' overall effort, offensively, defensively, and special teams-wise.
And Northwest topped Oakville 27-14 to wrap up the Friday scores. And on Saturday, it was Portageville topping Perryville 28-14. That is week 8 throughout the listening area overall. And when we return on the backside of this break, we'll dive a little bit deeper into the games that we were calling, starting first with the J98 game of the week. North County topping Potosi 22-7. We'll break that down after this. It's the Colts Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98.
For generations, Massey Ferguson has been more than just a name in the field. Like Fliggs Equipment, it is a name that has been trusted and withstood the test of time. Hi, I'm Clarissa Nagger. Jason and I would like to invite you to stop by either of the Fliggs locations and test drive for yourself the brand new Massey Ferguson tractors on the lot. From compact to full-size machines that can do work on your biggest plantation, Fliggs Equipment, proud to be your full-line Massey Ferguson dealer. Fliggs Equipment, let our family serve your family. St. Genevieve, Lettington, and online at Fliggs.com. For generations, Massey Ferguson has been more than just a name in the field. Like Fliggs Equipment, it is a name that has been trusted and withstood the test of time. Hi, I'm Clarissa Nagger. Jason and I would like to invite you to stop by either of the Fliggs locations and test drive for yourself the brand new Massey Ferguson tractors on the lot. From compact to full-size machines that can do work on your biggest plantation, Fliggs Equipment, proud to be your full-line Massey Ferguson dealer. Fliggs Equipment, let our family serve your family. St. Genevieve, Lettington, and online at Fliggs.
Whatever your educational goals are, you can achieve them at Jefferson College. With caring faculty, convenient locations, and award-winning academic programs, your future is Jefferson College's focus. To learn more, call 636-797-3000 or visit jeffco.edu for a complete list of degrees and programs. Enroll now.
For higher education, for higher expectations, Jefferson College, Jefferson College.
Family, health, home. Comtree Primary Care has received top recognition from the National Committee for Quality Assurance in Healthcare. Our doctors, nurses, and staff lead in providing compassionate, quality care to help you feel at home and a part of the Comtree family tree.
Comtree Primary Care has received top recognition from the National Committee for Quality Assurance in Healthcare.
Call 877-COMTREE or visit us online at comtree.org to schedule an appointment.
Welcome to our family tree.
Colts Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98 The Boot, where all this October you can donate to Team Up for Kids, where Buffalo Wild Wings is teaming up with the Boys and Girls Club of America. And your donation will support team jerseys, equipment, and coach training for local teams. All this October, you can show your support with a pinup for $1, or you can get a limited edition pop socket for $5 or more while supplies last. They can change more than 500,000 young athletes' lives by 2020 when we team up. Team up for kids at Buffalo Wild Wings all this October. Taking a look at the J98 game now, Andy, we were talking a lot. We touched on it a bit earlier, but going into the game, we were talking about it a lot too, Al. These two teams really had some up and down games at the beginning of the year, but they were really on the ups heading into this game. Potosi was looking really good, especially with that defense of theirs. It shut down the Central Rebels. It was rolling for them. North County, though, their offense is what was rolling for them, and it was that, you know, that old tale of an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object. And, well, this time around, the unstoppable force won with the North County Raiders offense.
Well, yeah, three-game winning streak for Potosi going in. Now, with that win for North County, they have four W's in their last five games, so it really was two teams that were trending in the right direction at the right time. And for Potosi's purposes, I even though this loss is on their schedule now, it's not a terrible loss. I think they still played pretty well. There were still a few mistakes that they have to clean up, and of course Ed Hart would probably tell you differently. There are a lot of things that they want to try and shore up in that game, but you know, I thought their defense still played pretty tough. I mean, You were talking about how North County had scored quite a bit over the last few weeks. I mean, not many teams have held North County under 30 points so far this year, and Potosi was still able to do that.
It's kind of like Farmington, a loss you can kind of hang your hat on. Obviously, there are some things you're going to want to fix, and I'm sure that was much of the same for Farmington. I'm sure they're going to want to fix their tackling heading into this week facing Central. But, you know, for that Potosi defense, like you said, that's a tough North County offense with a lot of weapons all over the field for them, and they kept them in check throughout most of the game.
Yeah, I mean, North County's got so many guys that are just speedy, and their running back is a big bruiser down the middle who is just tough to tackle in any sort of circumstance, and even the best defenses in the state would have trouble tackling Jalen Reed at times. So it is a tough offense to deal with for a lot of teams this year. North County's shown that all season long, though.
They had a happy senior night on Friday for the North County Raiders as they defeated the Potosi Trojans 22-7 in a game heard on J98. The Raiders, well-tuned offense, they found some early points by driving down the field on 8 plays. Senior running back Jalen Reed capped off the drive with a 4-yard run.
I formation, Borman now dips under center with a wide out on either side, gives to Reed up the left side, and he's just near the goal line. Touchdown! Jalen Reed punches it in from 4 yards out.
2-point conversion successful, making it 8-0 North County. And we talked about this a little bit before, a few weeks ago, I believe, right here in Buffalo Wild Wings, about Jalen Reed. He seems to do really well when he gets going early in the game. He's one of those backs that needs to get a rhythm, and once he does, you know, if you're the opposing defense, look out.
Well, first drive of the game there, and North County, they kind of mixed it up a little bit with Reed getting a few yards here and there. They really did open up the passing game a little bit on that first drive, and once you get inside the 5-yard line and you just give it to Jalen Reed, one play, maybe two tops, you're finding the end zone. So, once again, it was a solid performance from Jalen Reed with those two touchdowns right near the goal line.
Later in the first half, the Trojans, they responded with a 19-play drive, finishing with a touchdown run from junior Devon Guthrie.
Now they pitch it on second down and 6 to Guthrie. Gets away from one man across the 5 and into the end zone. Devon Guthrie runs it in on the toss, and Potosi now trailing 8-6.
I read that correctly, right? That's not a
yes, you did.
19-play drive?
19 plays. Their first drive of the game was a 3-and-out. Then they put that together. That's pretty darn impressive. It spanned over the end of the first quarter. They got the ball with maybe 5 minutes left in the first, and they took up a lot of the second quarter as well. That was a very impressive drive. They converted three fourth downs, and I think Braden Isgriggs, the fullback, was the one that ran all three of those fourth down conversions with really close yarded situations in all of those. But it was very impressive by Potosi. They nickel and dimed it down the field, and when they do that, opposing defenses are in trouble. I mean, they can keep going with these 19-play drives all game long if they really wanted to, and they showed that they can hang with most defenses out there because of what they do on their defensive side of the ball. I mean, it was a really impressive drive, and that's Potosi football right there.
And not only that, but what that does, too, it keeps that North County offense off the field and with the ball out of their hands. You can't score in football unless you're holding the ball. And if you have a 19-play drive, you're not going to let the other team score. It's that simple.
Absolutely. I mean, you're just going to do what you do and, you know, run as much clock as you can, make it a short game. And Potosi's got all the backs to do it. They have Kyle Miller. They have Ethan Brown. They have Damon Guthrie, who runs either in the tailback position or runs on the sweeps. And they've got Braden Isgriggs and Kale Short, some really good fullbacks that are able to convert those short yardage situations.
The extra point from Zach Haynes following that Guthrie touchdown made it 8-7, still in favor of the Raiders. On the ensuing drive, North County senior quarterback Colton Borman connected with fellow senior Cole Ziegler on a long passing play.
He'll fake the handoff to Reed, and he's back to throw. He's pressured, lets it go over the middle. It's caught by Ziegler! Touchdown! North County takes the top off the defense that time. Cole Ziegler brings it in, 41 yards.
Heavier play of the game for the J98 game, and that's it. I mean, they can run it with Colton Foreman and Jalen Reed, but then they can also take the top off the defense with that Foreman to Ziegler connection. That's been good for a while now.
Well, and that was the response to the 19-play drive. I mean, when you have guys like that that respond in that fashion, you know you've got a good offense that is led by a senior group, and that is exactly what this is. Senior quarterback Colton Foreman, senior wideout Cole Ziegler, and they've made a lot of those connections throughout this entire season. Those two, though, were really impressive throughout the game because Ziegler had six catches for 106, and Poorman was able to find him quite a bit. He was able to find Noah Meesey on some long passes as well. So the receivers did a nice job of getting open for Colton Poorman in that one, and Poorman was very accurate all night.
Yeah, so a good night for Colton Poorman, and that's going to be difficult facing that North County offense when it's going in all facets of the game, rushing and passing as well. Look out. Poorman, he wound up finishing the night 15 of 23 for 217 yards. Ziegler hauled in six of those 15 passes that were completed for 106 total yards. North County, they missed the two-pointer following that touchdown, keeping the score at 14-7 all the way until halftime. But those, he started with the ball in the second half, but a fumble by sophomore quarterback Andrew Coleman gave the Raiders a chance to start in opposing territory. The Raiders soon took advantage of the good field position.
Now the Raiders trying to take a two-touchdown lead. They quickly get to the line with a big formation. They hand it to Reed, has blockers out in front, right side. He's over the goal line and in. Touchdown, North County. Jalen Reed, his second touchdown of the night.
Reed, a good game for him, too. 19 carries for 78 yards, and that was his second of two touchdowns in the game as well. Two-point conversion extended North County's lead to 22-7 at this point. North County with the lead they have. Potosi, a very run-heavy offense. They got to feel pretty confident in this game, knowing that they just got to run the ball themselves and milk the clock. That Potosi may not quite have the air attack to catch up in this game.
Well, and they were trying to keep it with the running game as much as they could. There were a few times, and Potosi made a few mistakes in this game, a few fumbled snaps here and there on some of their drives. They actually had to make a quarterback change a little bit. They wanted to get somebody else in there to take those snaps and see what they could do. So they kept it with the ground game as much as they could, and they tried to go with the passing game probably a little too late, but I mean, you never know what might happen with the ground game because you have so many dynamic players like Damon Guthrie and guys in the backfield that can bust plays wide open. And, you know, you're right. For a running offense like Potosi, it is tough to come back from situations like this. That's why they rely so much on their defense to keep them in games and not have them try to run everything back when they're down three or four scores.
So into the fourth quarter we go, where Potosi's run-first offense was, like we were saying, forced to try and throw. The North County defense, they made another play.
And they have two wideouts to the right side, Guthrie and Haynes. And they'll look to throw this time. Nissi wants Guthrie down the near sideline. He's picked off. It's Carter Kikek there, intercepting it at the 40-yard line. He falls down. And Blake Missy unable to connect with Guthrie. And the Trojans turn it over for the second time today. North County will set up first down from the Potosi 41.
North County, they were able to hold on to the ball for the rest of this game to seal the victory. Andy, a strong victory for North County. And talking a lot about the impressive showing from the offense against that Potosi defense, but how about their defense against the Potosi offense? Besides that 19-play drive, sounds like they really locked down.
Well, and they've locked down for a couple of weeks now against Hillsborough a couple weeks ago in that really big victory that they had last week in their victory. And then this week, Potosi has seen some success when they can get that ground game going. They put up 55 points in a game before this year, Potosi. And, you know, you have to be careful with that running game as much as you can. But North County's run defense has really improved over the last 3 weeks. I think that's the place where they've taken the biggest step forward into becoming a more complete and consistent team, and it's really shown in their record.
After the game, Raiders coach Brian Jones said his seniors stepped up to help finish the season strong.
Once all the senior activities were over during the pregame, you know, we still had over 30% of our season to play. And, you know, that was the main, you know, our main point and our main focus was to just finish the season as best as we can and, you know, try to get as high seeding as possible.
Meanwhile, Trojans head coach Ed Haar said they had a few too many mistakes throughout the contest.
Thought we came out flat, you know, so that's my fault. We need to change how whatever we did to make us come out flat, and you know, we can't do that next week. We can't do that really against anyone. With, you know, our game plan is always going to be to run the ball first, and when we shoot ourselves in the foot, I mean, it kind of puts us in a hole.
Andy, final thoughts on this contest?
Well, listen, Potosi still has a lot to play for. They are only about 4 points behind Central in the standings. They can try to leapfrog them with a chance to play up this weekend against the Class 4 team in Potosi, or excuse me, in DeSoto. That's their opponent who they're going to be playing. It's on the road. It's a tough matchup. But if Potosi can win that game and Central loses, it might make it really close. I don't know how the math's going to work out as far as the district standings and who's going to have more points than the other. But Potosi can avoid, right now they're in the five if the playoffs started now. If they can hop Central, they would go all the way up to the three spot and be able to host a playoff game. I feel like Coach Ed Haar recognizes that, and he has a chance to make an opportunity out of that when they go and play DeSoto. North County, they're trying to prepare and keep things going for the playoffs. They're going on the road to John Burroughs this week, so it's going to be a tough matchup, I think, there to not only play on the road but play on a Saturday. Kind of disrupts your routine a little bit, and Coach Jones talked about that, how they're going to be a little bit off keel as to what they're used to throughout the season. So it'll be interesting to see how these two teams finish out.
North County now 5-3 with the win, and like Andy said, they'll finish the season up on the road at John Burroughs this Saturday. Potosi to 4-4. They'll visit DeSoto this Friday night. So, you know, like you were saying, though, with Potosi potentially moving up, it gives them an opportunity to avoid Central as well, which, you know, I think Central, for whoever winds up facing them, that's going to be a tough opening round draw, because when their game is on, they've been pretty good. And they were without their kicker in that game, the Central Rebels, when they lost to the Potosi Trojans by 1 point, 7-6. You got to imagine with all the red zone opportunities they had in that game, if they have their kicker, Justin Bridges, in the game, maybe they come away with the victory instead.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how Central puts it together for playoff time. I fully expect them to do that because, I mean, Coach Swice knows how to get those guys ready for their district tournaments, and it should be interesting to see how everything shakes out and what these last few games will do to the standings as far as who's going to be hosting a playoff game, who's going to have to, you know, maybe go on the road. So we'll see.
Once again, final score 22-7. North County takes the senior night victory over Potosi on J98. So that wraps up the J98 game of the week from this past Friday night. We'll take a break, and when we return, we'll break down the KREI game. Lutheran North top Farmington 56-27, but Farmington Knights put up a good fight against one of the tougher teams that anyone in the listening area will wind up playing this season. We'll break it down after this. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98.
Hi, this is Brad Smith at Lucas Smith Chrysler Center. Lucas Smith Chrysler is more than just your local Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep dealer. We sell and service to the entire Jefferson County area. So while you're listening to this sports broadcast, no matter if it's the Tigers, the Hornets, the Blue Jays, the Lancers, the Dragons, or the Hawks, remember, we are and we support the entire Jefferson County area and its sports teams. We are Lucas Smith Chrysler Center off Highway A in Festus, your home of the No Bull Deal.
Home of the No Bull Deal. Lucas Smith Chrysler.
Are you or a loved one facing the thought of having to move into a nursing home because you're no longer able to care for yourself or your loved one at home? Consult with Community In-Home Services in St. Genevieve before you do anything. They provide in-home care to seniors and the disabled to keep them in the comfort and familiarity of their own home. So give them a call at 573-883-8997 to set up an appointment, or visit them at 1010 St. Genevieve Drive. Community In-Home Services in St. Genevieve, serving you and yours since 2002.
Are you ready for an exciting new career that offers job security, flexibility, and independence? Rankin Technical College in Perryville is now accepting student applications for a 10-week CDL training class. The Gilster Mary Lee Corporation will provide the necessary funding for program training if your application is approved. You'll receive a benefits package which includes miles paid by the hub, paid downtime, unloading allowances, vacation Christmas and holiday bonuses, plus insurance. Call Mike Welker today at 800-851-5300.
With Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate, every detail matters in the home selling process.
Make the first move. Besides curb appeal and painting your front door, it's time to declutter your home from closets to kitchen cabinets. For more ideas to help sell your home in today's market, text me, Wanda Saharsky with Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate, 573-631-9494.
Contact Coldwell Banker Holsey Real Estate at coldwellbankerholsey.com and follow us on Facebook.
It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on the J98 from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, where they've got buy one, get one boneless this Tuesday evening and all Tuesday evening throughout football season as well. Let's take a look at the KREI game as Chad Speaker rejoins us. And Chad, we were kind of talking a little bit before this game during the Fleet's Equipment pregame show about how Farmington's kind of built to keep up with teams that are tougher than them because play some solid defense. They've got some very good special teams. They're a very run-heavy team, like we were talking about with the J98 game. Can't score without the ball in your hand, so a run-heavy team certainly favors you there. And they did really keep pace with them for a little more than a half of a game.
Well, I wouldn't characterize it as teams that are tougher than them, maybe more talented than them.
Yeah, I think that's a better way to
put it. Yeah, because they're a pretty tough team. They play a tough brand of football. And certainly, you know, Lutheran North had the talent on there. So they're good talent on Farmington, there's no question. There aren't six Division I players, though, on that team. And that's what Lutheran North has at a minimum. You know, you already brought up Azubuike, their running back, a little bit earlier on in the show. But, you know, their line is just tremendous. I mean, when you have a 225-pound...
You got a guy that can look from Alabama.
Yeah, yeah. And when you have a 225-pound back in the backfield, you know, if you can chip him before he gets started or get him going east and west, you have a better chance at it. But when that kid, you know, hits top speed 7 yards deep in your defensive backfield because the line has opened such a hole for him, well, now you're in big trouble. And really, that was really the combination that doomed Farmington on Friday night.
I mean, especially with how many times they ran the ball and how much yardage they were able to put up, too. It's not like this Lutheran North team was, you know, going to gun it all over the place, spread type of team. This is a very run-heavy team.
Yeah, they just tried a couple of passes. In fact, both off, it was kind of weird. And another item that we talked about, Sean, was that both Farmington and Lutheran North had 84% of their offense coming in on the ground. The Crusaders only actually threw two passes. Problem for Farmington is they threw one of them to a kid that's 6'5", 210 pounds and can leap, and that was in the corner of the end zone. So, you know, they have dudes all over the place. So
they got him who's NFL-sized and Azubuike we were talking about before. 5'11", 220 was what you had him listed as?
Yeah, 5'11", 220.
And when you have a wide receiver and a running back, that would have an NFL build to them.
And like we said, their best player is probably on the line.
Exactly. Yeah. It's unbelievable. So Farmington, they fell to Class 2's fourth-ranked team, Lutheran North, 56-27. The Knights, they battled and found themselves down by only 1 point midway through the third quarter. Farmington's Cale Krause knocked in a pair of field goals, combined with a Royce Harris touchdown run to take a 13-12 lead at the end of the first.
You've got Harris as the wing back off to the left side. He goes in motion, and it's a quick pitch to him. He cuts back. He's to the 30. Royce Harris turns on the Jets. Say goodbye. Royce Harris in from 32 yards out, and the Knights have tied up Lutheran North 12-12 with 57 seconds left in the first quarter of play. You give Royce Harris an inch, he'll take a mile on you. You know, it's happened probably three times this year. It's like an eclipse where everything lines up perfectly. And it just so happens where the Farmington offense is on a certain part of the field and the angle that we watch the game at from the booth is at a certain spot and you can see a hole open. And you know Royce is getting the ball and you know it's going to be a touchdown before he ever gets it, because he's such a dynamic, fast back, and that's exactly what happened on that play. You could see it all the way. You could see that hole open, and you could see the ball out just waiting for Royce to grab it, and you knew he was going to score on the play.
And again, the special teams, they had two field goals from Cale Krause, and on that touchdown drive, it was set up very nicely by a special teams return. I don't know if it was Royce Harris on the return. I can't recall who returned it. But another return set up Farmington with a short field, allowing them to punch it into the end zone for the score.
Yeah, and on one of the Farmington scores, but you remember that 6'5 guy, that wide receiver? Yeah, he's the punter, and they snapped it over his head. I don't know how you do that, but they did. But you know, another special teams play in Farmington does excel at that.
The long snapper's not going Division One, then. If you snap it over a 6'5" kid's head, you're not going D1.
But you may go to the Olympics in shot put, though.
Yeah, you could probably find something else. The first two times, Lutheran North, they had the ball, though. Isaiah Azubuike, he ran for 63 and 47-yard touchdowns. And the massive offensive line to end Azubuike, they continued to bludgeon their way down the field all night long. A senior who's going to Arkansas State next year, he ran for 379 yards on 16 carries and 5 touchdowns. Let's hear it.
Uh-oh, here's Isaiah Azubuike. Pounds over a man, hurdles a man, and now nobody's close. He's going the length of the field. The handoff is to Azubuike. He had one touch and a touchdown last time. He gets to the outside trying to break by Files. He does so. He gets to the 20, the 10, the 5. Azubuike with two runs in the ball game, and he's now topped 100 yards rushing. Azubuike gets it off tackle right side, breaks the tackle. He might be gone again. To the 40, to the 30. Azubuike running down the right sideline to the 10 and to the end zone. Hands it off to Azubuike. He runs through an arm tackle of Barnes and then high steps in and out of the would-be tackle of Simmons. And now he's to the 30, to the 20, runs through a shirt tackle, and he's into the end zone again, this time from 73 yards. The fifth touchdown of the game for Isaiah Azubuike, and he has topped 300 yards rushing. Did you kick out of the flavor of the game there?
A little bit.
Kind of figure out what's happening there.
A lot of spice from Azubuike.
So 379 yards, 16 carries. That's 20, it's almost 24 yards a carry.
What's insane, too, it's almost a touchdown every three carries, yeah, too, for him. But
crazy.
We both separately, Kevin Thurman and I, compared him with his style of running, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, well, his results are
the results are Saquon Barkley-esque as well.
I mean, he's the high school player. He's not in that class. But yeah, you know, this guy just he's had a doing at the high school level a little bit what you saw from Saquon at the college level.
It's not like this guy, though, just had a knife to run through, you know, lane to knife through and go all the way for the score. He was breaking a ton of tackles on these runs,
too. A couple times he did. And then the other times he was pinballing his way and guys were flying off. So, yeah, it was rough.
Despite the Crusaders' dominance on the ground, the two teams, they went into the locker room tied at 20, and Farmington quarterback Caden Files helped keep the pace with the first possession of the second half.
And they'll go with a keeper and Files. Files has a first down. He cuts back. Files to the 40, to the 30, to the 20. Files to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Caden Files. 56 yards.
After that, a huge offensive line, though, from the Crusaders. They powered Azubuike and company past the Knights with 28 unanswered points, and Lutheran North ran for 593 yards as a team as Isaac Glenn tacked on a buck 12, and Ollie Wells added another 81. I mean, it almost feels like the offensive line is one of those. If they rolled up to the Farmington Knights in the middle of, like, a schoolyard or something like that, they're going to take the lunch money. They're that big.
Yeah, you know, as good as Azubuike was, they could win plenty of games without the guy because their line's that good. Azubuike overshadows Isaac Glenn, but Isaac Glenn is also 5'11", 225, and he can run. And let's say he goes down. You got this Ali Wells dude. He only had four carries on his way to those 81 yards. So they not only have front line talent, but they've got pretty nice depth on this team as well. In fact, their starting quarterback only played the first few games of the year, and he got injured, so that hasn't slowed him down at all.
I mean, do you really need a starting quarterback when you're going to hand it off that many times throughout the game?
It's a fair question. I mean, it really is.
And you got a 6'5" wide receiver as well.
Their only loss last year, Sean, they're class two. I mean, they're, let's be honest, they're a private St. Louis school, so they are class two. But they're drawing from, a talent pool that's pretty formidable. Their only loss last year was to a Lamar team that you saw a couple years ago, I believe, against
Valley.
I've
never seen Lamar in person. I haven't had a chance to cover them.
Okay.
But, I've watched video of them play just because the offensive system that they run, the two-quarterback spinner offense,
they won
mystifies
state
you.
Last year and only beat Lutheran North by a .76. I don't see how anybody in Class 2 stands in Lutheran North's way this year.
It's the only thing that could is just that offensive system for Lamar. And, Lutheran North, they did a good job keeping it in check, but, you watch it, and there's almost no answer to it other than just hope you guess the right hole to run through, and that happens to be the same hole Lamar is going through. It's a really tough system to try and defend against. Royce Harris, though, he had an effective night for Farmington, 141 on the ground with two touchdowns on 17 carries, so a good night for Royce Harris. Same with Caden Files. He had 84 rushing yards, and Farmington had 300 total as a team, so they were able to run the ball with some success.
Yeah, Royce had another great outing and didn't run the ball in the fourth quarter. Royce has had some games this year. Now, 17 carries is a pretty decent workload, but, Royce has had probably a couple of games this year that, if they wanted him to, if the play caller wanted him to, he's topped 200 yards one time, but he probably could have done it three or four times this year.
Farmington, they fall to 5-3. They'll finish the regular season at Park Hill Central this Friday. Lutheran North, they improved to 5-3. Chad, final thoughts on this game?
Well, probably Eric Krupe said it best. He said it right after the game. He said, "We're moving on to Central." You know, and it's, I mean,
very Belichick-esque.
It is. It totally was, but it probably in this case couldn't have been truer. You know, it wasn't a conference game. It wasn't a district game. You know, they're going to get another home game, even though that was the last regular season home game. We're moving on.
Onward to Central. That's where the Farmington Knights will be next week on AM 800 KRBI. We'll talk about it a little more in depth later on in the program. Before we do, we've got to get to the KJF game. St. Francis Borgia, they topped Festus 50-7 on Festus's homecoming. We'll break that down with KJF Sports Director Matt Greenwood on the backside of this break. You're listening to the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98.
Hot and Ready Pizza is here at your Little Caesars in Herculaneum. They have their famous Little Caesars combo for just $5, and for dinner, pick up a Hot and Ready cheese, pepperoni, or a sausage pizza for just $5.55, or a five-meat feast, and I mean feast, for just $9. That's Little Caesars off I-55 at the Herculaneum exit behind Cracker Barrel. Open at 10:30, 7 days a week, and be sure to use the Little Caesars app when ordering.
Go see JR today at Midwest Sports Center. They're just off Highway 67 in Farmington. And JR, just because the weather's getting a little bit cooler doesn't mean the deals are cooling off at Midwest Sports Center.
No, we've got some hot sales going on right now on all of our ATVs and side-by-sides. I've still got some mowers available also. Come see me, JR, at Midwest Sports Center. The number here is 573-756-7975. Just ask for JR.
Go get dirty with Midwest Sports Center today. They're located just off Highway 67 on Walker Drive in Farmington.
The Potosi R3 School District is committed to excellence. Now, they're proud of their students and their athletes because these young people work hard and show a ton of dedication. The Potosi R3 students and athletes are committed to excelling to high levels of achievement. Attitude and perseverance play a big part in their success. The Potosi R3 School District sincerely hopes this school year is a wonderful and memorable stepping stone in their life's journey.
At Willett Home Furnishings in Bonterre, we are excited to partner with the Farmington Pet Adoption Center in helping them raise money and get the things they need for their furry little friends. So now, through October 20th, bring a donation, whether monetary or new items of use, and receive an additional 10% off your purchase here at Willett Home Furnishings. There's never been a better time to buy, with huge savings on recliners, dinettes, bedrooms, living rooms, and more. So stop in and donate and save now through October 20th at Willett Home Furnishings on Berry Road in Bonterre.
Coles Tractor Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. Coles Tractor Equipment located right off of Highway 32 in Farmington. And let's take a look at the KJF game now. St. Francis Borgia topping Festus 50-7. Matt Greenwood joins us now, the KJF Sports Director. Matt, this is a game that Coach Schmidt was, you could tell he was disappointed with his men after this game, but really couldn't be too disappointed because they had to go celebrate homecoming afterwards. It's kind of a weird situation to be in a little bit.
It's a weird situation for the kids. You spend so much energy throughout the week getting things ready for the parade, for all the activities that are lined up. And then you got to find some time for homework, sleep, food. You know, maybe you got to take care of the younger brother, younger sister. And then you got to study game film and study the game plan and, you know, just register all of that and maintain all that information for a five-day period into your Friday night football game. And it's draining on the kids, and Coach Schmidt knows that. I think the kids realize it as well. And it's a weird way to celebrate homecoming when you're playing a team with such as the caliber of St. Francis Borgia, because you know you're in for a dogfight. You know you're in for a really tough game because they're just one of those schools. It's a private school, so they tend to get a lot of great talent. So all that intertwined into the game Friday night, you know, we saw just how good some non-Jefferson County schools really can be.
So Festus, they dropped their homecoming affair with St. Francis Borgia on Friday night by a final of 50-7. The Knights, they put points on the board in the first 12 seconds of the game with a 58-yard touchdown pass from Sam Hegeman to Cole Meyer.
The Borgia Knights are going to line up in a pistol set, offset with their tailback, Louis Eckelkamp, in the backfield. They fake the handoff and go down the far sideline where the catch is made. And down the sideline, inside the 20, inside the 10, and crossing the goal line for the score is Cole Meyer. I mean, that play just I mean, wow. 12 seconds into the game, broken coverage, play along the sideline. There was no, once he caught the ball, there was no one within 20 yards of him, and then he just has a great speed and able to elude the oncoming defense that was able to even get near him. And that's just a punch in the mouth right off the bat that Festus actually, as we'll keep going here, handled pretty well.
And Festus, you're right, they handle it pretty well normally, but I feel like early on they just had too many gut punches that they really couldn't overcome.
Well, and I talked about it, and Coach Schmidt talked about it, avoiding the big play. If you avoided the big play against Borgia and kept them, you know, within that 15 to 20 yard range, in terms of, you know, how many yards they're picking up per play, if you kept them inside of that and forced them to drive down the field, maybe you got a chance for the clock to be your friend later down the line and all that good stuff. But yeah, so avoiding the big play was key to, you know, being competitive. And right then and there, I mean, first play of the game, obviously the big play happens, and that's not exactly what Festus was hoping for.
So following the opening touchdown, Festus, they drove down the field on 11 plays, but it stalled as they turned it over on downs. Borgia, though, they put the ball on the deck on the ensuing drive.
Hegeman hangs onto the football and gives it up late, and the ball pops out, and the Tigers have a chance to pounce on top of it, and they do!
So what exactly went down there? Was it just a miscommunication on a read option?
Exactly. I can't really say it any differently. Hegeman was leaning forward, had the football in his hand, stuck it in the gut of his running back, and was like, maybe I don't want to give it to you. And then by that time, his running back was like, well, I want it. And then the ball dropped, and the Tigers got it.
So following that play, we got the play of the game where the Tigers, they responded nicely after the recovered fumble, running it in for a score just three plays later.
Here's a double handoff, running through a tackle left side of the line, and scoring is Austin Anderson. Assist there to Jaden Rystrom, and the Tigers are within one on the 16-yard touchdown scamper.
And they would actually tie it, close that one-point lead with the point after, making it 7-all. And, you know, at that point, what was kind of the vibe for homecomings? It's a homecoming game. You're facing a tough team. And let's face it, they had an ugly start to the game other than that fumble, which was a lucky break. It's not like Festus punched it out or anything like that or knocked it out of the player's hands. It's just a drop by the offense of St. Francis Borgia. And, you know, I always am curious how the crowd reacts to that, because it's, you know, they had that good touchdown three plays later, but beyond that, it sounds like this was mostly a Borgia game.
Well, yeah, certainly, but I mean, the fans had, the players had their moment. They got it there with the fumble recovery and then being able to actually score a touchdown on the Knights. And, you know, the crowd was slightly dejected after giving up the first, you know, that first touchdown of 58 yards. And then they had a lot of life back in them, and you could definitely feel it in the stands because, I felt like the vibration of the stand. I mean, people were stomping and all that good stuff. And so, yeah, they were right back in it. And that's what the Tigers players needed. They needed the crowd back in the game. And credit to the players for being able to make that happen.
Score now tied at 7-7. The next touchdown went to the Knights with Louis Ekelkamp being the benefactor.
Quarterback Hegeman, a late pitch off the fake handoff near sideline. Ekelkamp will break an ankle tackle as he crosses the goal line for another six. And so the Borgia Knights travel 67 yards downfield, and on their sixth play of the drive, they get a 14-yard run.
That would make the score 14-7 Knights, and the Tigers' defense would be on their heels as Borgia. They would turn to Ekelkamp once again to stretch their lead.
Split back set with the quarterback Hegeman in shotgun formation, takes the snap, waist high, hands it off. Ekelkamp straight up the middle, secures the football even more as he makes impact with the Tigers at the goal line, and he's into the end zone for a 5-yard score.
So we were talking about the feeling from the crowd at the game, and the momentum was early on all Borgia's side. Then it ticked back Festus' side a little bit with the fumble recovery and touchdown, but back-to-back touchdowns from Ekelkamp, that kind of sucked the wind out of the sails of the Festus Tigers.
Yeah, at that point, not a lot of – there were more moans and groans than there were cheers, obviously. I just felt like at that point, Borgia had proven that their speed – was far superior to Festus's, and that they were going to continue to do the best they could to get out, you know, out to the boundaries and use that speed and try some, you know, quick throws and just let the guys run with the football after catch. You know, yards after catch was definitely huge in this ball game. So, I mean, they weren't cheap touchdowns at all. They were really impressive touchdowns that the Knights were able to get. And like I said, they used a lot of their speed to get those scores. And at that point, you're like, wow, this team's really, really fast. This might be a long night.
21-7 favoring Borgia after one. And the only highlight for the remainder of the first half for Festus was Casey Martin intercepted.
Shotgun formation for Hegeman. Two receivers near side, two far side as well. Running back to his right. Low snap, picks it up off the turf, launches it down the field and into the arms of the Tigers.
So that would pretty much be the end of the positive plays for the Festus Tigers as Borgia would continue to roll and put up 50 points by the end of that game. It was just a tough loss for Festus, and now they've got a short turnaround. They have to face a Class 6 opponent this coming Friday night. It is a tough end of the season for the Festus Tigers.
It certainly is, and I think maybe the message by Coach Schmidt will be, hey, guys, we know this is a battle. Do your best, and we'll live with the result, but do not lose confidence in what we can do as a football team, because, honestly, when you lose 50-7 during homecoming, and now you're going up against a Troy Buchanan team that is quite incredible. I mean, they're 6-2 in Class 6, which tells you a lot about how tough they are. And so it's going to be another potential long night for the Tigers, and it's important that these players remain confident and in their abilities, you know, once the postseason begins, when they're back to playing, you know, competition in their class.
The way the rest of the game went, Borgia had two touchdowns in the second, a 13-yard pass from Hegeman to Tyler Stieferman, and a 27-yard pass by Hegeman to Tyler Glossmeyer. The halftime score was 36-7, an early third quarter score for the Knights. Turned the rest of the game into a running clock game with the final score sitting at Borgia 50, Festus 7. Knights improved to 7-1. Tigers dropped to 5-3 with the loss. Festus, they're going to host Class 6 Troy Buchanan on Thursday night on AM 1400 KJF to wrap up the regular season. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but, you know, final thoughts on this game, Matt. You know, again, Coach Schmidt, disappointed in his team. You could just, from his voice alone, let alone the words coming out of his mouth, just those voice alone, you could hear the disappointment.
Yeah, and he was, and I heard Chad on my way in talking about it's not necessarily just wins and losses, but the effort during those wins and losses, and that was the one word that Coach Schmidt used quite a bit, was lack of effort, lack of focus as well. The focus, I'm sure, was attached to the homecoming stuff that was going on, the effort, obviously, to what happened on the football field on Friday night, but yeah, I mean, I think Coach Schmidt would tell you he knew it was going to be a tough battle, and he was hoping his guys would show some sort of, some sort of fight that shows that, hey, maybe we are ready for the playoffs, because we know that we're going to be in for a big fight every single game in the postseason, and I don't think he got that kind of effort from the guys that he was looking for, and that's why he was disappointed.
Once again, final score, Borgia 50, Festus 7. Again, the Festus Tigers, they'll take on Class 6's Troy Buchanan this Thursday night on AM 1400 KJF to wrap up their regular season. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll take a break. When we return, we'll be joined by Mariah, the assistant manager here, who will talk a little bit about the food they got, of course, as always, and also their new initiative, Team Up for Kids, that's going on all October. St. Genevieve Dragons, they're in the house as well. We'll be joined by them a little bit later on. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on KTJJ Farmington.
Do you struggle navigating your smartphone or tablet? Farmington Presbyterian Manor is here to help. Join us for a senior cyber cafe on October 23rd at 2 p.m. We'll cover helpful topics like sending emails, sharing photos, and downloading apps. It's time to turn the tables on your children and grandchildren. Space is limited, so get your seat today by calling 573-756-6768. Presbyterian Manor, where you live the way you want to live.
Breast cancer raises lots of questions. Does physical activity reduce the risk of breast cancer? The National Breast Cancer Foundation offers this answer. A woman who exercises 4 hours per week reduces her risk of breast cancer. Exercise pumps up the immune system and cuts the estrogen level. Patton Junction Livestock Auction, Heartland Memorial Services in Park Hills, and the City of Bloomsdale encourage you to give yourself a breast self-exam once a month.
At Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy, we are ready and waiting to help you as you begin to think about your new Medicare Part D plan for the coming year. Open enrollment runs from October 15th through December 7th. Part D plans change every year, so it can be confusing, but it's good to know that you can trust your locally owned Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy to sit down with you and discuss your medications. We want you to have the right information to choose the best plan for you. Call or stop in our stores in Deloge, Farmington, Fredericktown, or Ironton and make an appointment today.
Mark Toady here with a look at my life away from the radio station. Once I get home, I usually melt into my recliner, which I got from Chris and Jamie at Patsy's Furniture in Park Hills. Heck, sometimes I don't make it out of the recliner, but if I do, I usually head over to my sofa, which also comes from Patsy's. And after a couple of hours of TLC with my recliner and sofa, it's off to bed, which, by golly, also comes from Patsy's Furniture in Park Hills. Hey, I love my furniture from Patsy's right off Highway 67 at the Parkway Drive exit, and you won't find better people to deal with than Chris and Jamie. It really is true. You'll love to shop at Patsy's.
On J98 Food as we broadcast from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, and we're joined now by the assistant manager, Mariah. Mariah, thanks for taking the time to join us again. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the new initiative. It started in October now. I just learned about it last week. Team Up for Kids, where you guys are working with the Boys and Girls Club of America. Give us an idea on this promotion.
So the idea is if people come in and donate, it supports a good cause, and Boys and Girls Club of America, it supports underprivileged youth. You know, it really keeps kids off the streets. It gives kids the initiative to stay out of gangs, stay off the streets, and join sports groups or like basketball or baseball or cheer or something. And Team Up for Kids is a really incredible idea on Buffalo Wild Wings' part, especially. And then with the Boys and Girls Club, they try to help kids as much as possible. And the Boys and Girls Club of America also tries to help with food insecurity that kids have in underprivileged areas, so it's a really good cause. And you know, even if one person donates $1, it all adds up and it all helps kids in the local community.
And that's always good too, that goes to the local community. But beyond just the feel-good feeling you would get from donating to that good cause, you also get a little something out of it too. I believe it's a pinup and a pop socket too.
Oh yeah, if you donate at least $1, you get to write your name, how much you donated, and you get a little jersey, a little football, or a little soccer ball, and then you get to hang it up, and you just like, your name's right there, you donated, and you feel great. But if you donate $5, you get a pop socket, and everyone's got pop sockets.
That's it. Those things have become really popular in the last like 2 years or so now.
Exactly, they're like $10 on Amazon, so if you come in and donate $10 that you would buy one on Amazon, you can get two for free.
Yeah, or you can just get one because it says $5 or more, so you don't
exactly
have to just make the minimum donation.
Oh, yeah.
More than that.
The more the merrier. They're always welcome.
Obviously, here we're at Buffalo Wild Wings, where I certainly love the food. I always go for the buffalo wings because buffalo chicken's one of my favorite foods, but what's one thing that's on the menu that a lot of people don't order but is kind of underrated that people probably should give a chance?
Ooh, underrated?
Like not one of the more popular items, but it should be.
It should be. So it's actually a rollout item. It's one of our limited time offer specials. It's buffalo tots. So it's tater tots and medium sauce and blue cheese and green onions and blue cheese crumbles. And it's so good because all that hot and all that blue cheese, it goes so well together. But it's not here for very long.
Like, you need a fork to eat that, I imagine.
You know, I would. I would suggest a fork for sure.
It sounds like tater tots you normally eat, you know, it's just finger food. You just pop them in. But that sounds a little too messy to just eat with.
Everybody loves tater tots. And we also have a brand new sauce out right now. It's the barbecue pumpkin ale, and that will not stick around for long, so get it while you can.
I may have to try that out. That does sound pretty good.
It is a very interesting sauce.
Beer and barbecue sauce, even if it's pumpkin beer, it still
exactly
sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, have you had that sauce yet?
Not yet. On the plate. It's on the agenda.
It's on the agenda.
Yeah.
Something to eventually get to. I feel like you guys should do like a taste test every time you get a new flavor.
Do.
You kind of do that? Okay.
We always have our employees like, hey, tell me how that tastes. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Anything else that you want to add?
No. Other than that, come out and see us for our $5 specials. We got football on. We got, you know, 45 TVs of your choosing. Then first come, first serve. And we're here to help. We're here to have fun, party, and have a good time.
And $5 specials, that's every Sunday through football season, correct?
It's actually every Thursday through Monday because
Thursday
of football.
Monday, okay.
Because we include college football as well. So a $5 pitcher of beer, $5 sandwich, $5 brat, all kinds of
goodies.
A
couple food items on the $5 menu.
All kinds of goodies.
Mariah, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate you.
No problem. It's been my pleasure.
That's the assistant manager here for Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. Mariah joining us, talking about Team Up for Kids and some of the food items on the menu as well. We'll take a break, and when we return, we'll be joined by head coach of the St. Genevieve Dragons, Coach Ken Weick, and a number of his players, too, that he brought with him this evening. They'll be joining Nick Lewis to talk about their season and their win Friday night over the DeSoto Dragons, 14-0. We'll be back after this on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98.
Our summer is ending. And on comes the Friday night lights. Yes, it's that time of year again for high school football. Hi, this is John Cozine, and for four generations spanning more than 100 years, our funeral home family has supported the Farmington Knights. And for most of the past 20 years, I've been photographing the Knights for the benefit of the players and their fans. You can see these photos online by going to our website at Cozine Memorial Chapel and highlighting the Community News tab. Or go directly to the Farmington Missourian on the internet. Either way, you can see the Knights as they play another exciting season.
Are you tired of calling your mortgage lender and not being able to talk to anyone, or you're transferred over and over again? Skip the hassle and refinance with Bloomsdale Bank. Call today and speak with one of their expert loan officers. Have a personalized borrowing experience and rest easy knowing your loan will be serviced locally when you borrow with Bloomsdale Bank. Visit their website or visit any of their five locations in Herculaneum, Crystal City, Bloomsdale, or St. Genevieve. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Myrna from the YMCA. Parents, mark your calendars. Kids Night Out at the Y will be Saturday, October 20th from 6 to 10. Kids ages 5 to 12 are invited to the Jefferson County Y for a safe, supervised evening of fun. Parents, you get the evening off to relax. Kids can swim, play in the gym, make Halloween masks, and enjoy many other activities. $12 for members and $17 per non-member. Registration closes at noon on Friday, October 19th. Register by calling 636-931-9622 today.
Tractor and Equipment continues to be the leader of compact tractor sales for St. Francis and surrounding counties. How, you ask? It's simple. By selling the best quality for the best price with a proven best warranty on the market. Hi, it's Hannah with LS, the major brand maker of two other brands. Brands that you already know and love. At Coles Tractor and Equipment, you get that same franchise quality with the best 6-year parts and labor warranty and more standard features than I can name in this 60-second ad. This month, get the 35-horsepower, 4-wheel drive diesel tractor with loader and skid steer front bucket for only $16,999. That's right, get the 35-horsepower compact diesel tractor with loader for only $16,999. Give us a call today, 573-756-4353, or stop by Coles Tractor and Equipment, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Coles Tractor and Equipment. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
The Roundtable Show, live here from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. Now pleased to be joined by a whole host of St. Genevieve Dragons right here in Farmington, led by head coach Ken Weick. And coach, I've got the privilege to cover you guys the last couple of weeks, and I know I've bugged you a lot about it. You know, you've had the senior night and the homecoming, and you've kind of gotten through that shining. You guys have won both of those games in convincing fashion, one with your offense and maybe one with your defense a little bit more this last week in a 14-0 victory against DeSoto. What's kind of been your reaction from these last two home games, and how do you feel about your team as we approach playoff season?
I'm pretty fired up about these guys. Right now, you know, this group here is a big reason, I think, why we won those two games. The guys that brought over and the rest of that senior class, like you said, we had senior night and we had homecoming, and you expect a lot of things going on outside of the game, but it was real nice to just kind of take care of business, and you didn't, you know, we didn't have to dwell on stuff. Our kids like homecoming, they have a good time with it, and got into all the stuff during the week, but when it came time for the game, didn't have to, you know, really get on anybody about focusing that. They got themselves there, so I think, you know, that's a lot to say about these guys and the attitude they've taken toward this end of the season.
And we're about to get into a little bit of a play-by-play for your guys' game, but just before we kind of get to that, your thoughts from this last 14-0 victory against DeSoto as your defense shines and you get just a little enough offense to get the job done.
Well, Clayton said just a second ago, you know, the kind of game it was. It was pretty much, you know, just a tough game for both sides. It was a hard-hitting game, very physical game, and 14-0 was, you know, pretty much the game it was. It was back and forth and just guys getting after it. And, you know, our kids played hard all the way to the end, I thought, and so did theirs. And just real physical game, and we came out on top of it.
All right, so the St. Genevieve Dragons edged out the DeSoto Dragons at home on Friday night by a final score of 14-0 over the course of a little bit of a rainy contest. The Battle of the Dragons was a defensive stalemate for the majority of the first half. That was until St. Jen came up with a massive interception from senior defensive back Brady Boyer. Starting the drive with a short field from the 18-yard line, late in the second quarter, St. Jen punched it into the end zone thanks to sophomore running back Darian Brown.
Dunsey and Brown in the backfield. Dunsey takes the snap, hands off Brown. Brown goes left guard. Brown lunging for the end zone, and he's in! A touchdown! Darian Brown, the sophomore, gets in the end zone just as he did twice a week ago.
And coach, I know you've got a huge group of seniors that kind of lead your squad, but what can you say about Darian Brown, the sophomore, the youngster, running behind that offensive line?
He runs hard. He's exciting to watch. You know, he does a good job reading what's in front of him. He's one of them guys that when you get the ball in his hands, you never know what's going to happen. But, you know, I think he knows as well as I do that the guys up front are doing a real good job for him. And probably for like the last 3 weeks, the guys on the edge have, I think, really picked up the block. And, you know, we've thrown the ball pretty well all through the season. And we've asked our wide receivers and our slot guys to start blocking a little bit more to kind of balance us up. And I think they've done a real good job of that.
And how about we open it up to the players a little bit? You know, you guys were in a defensive match throughout the game, and anyone can kind of respond to this. And, you know, you get that huge turnover at the end of the half. It kind of looked like it was going to be 0-0 heading into halftime, but you get those 7 points on the board, and that had to feel good. Don't all go at once.
Oh, yeah, it felt real good. We all come together as a team and finish that drive of defense, and we just got back out there for the offense.
Yeah, that you did. And Darian Brown, what can you guys say about him, a sophomore who's really had a big role?
He's been around the game of football a long time. He understands how to run the ball, and he does a very good job of it, real fast, physical for his size, and he does a great job.
He has been doing a great job the last couple of weeks. An extra point would put St. Jen on top of DeSoto 7-0 heading into the locker room. St. Jen emerged from the break with the same energy and used a little bit of trickery on fourth down and goal to make it a two-score game in the third quarter for our play of the game.
So they're going to go for it here on fourth and goal from the two. Gegg behind center. Gegg is going to hand it off to Brown. A reverse, and now looking to throw to the end zone. and a catch for Logan Gay. A trick play, and Logan Trollinger ends up throwing it as Brown took the handoff, a reverse back to Trollinger, and Trollinger throws it to Gay, who started it off by handing it off to Brown.
Quite the play there that you guys designed. And Coach, how long were you kind of holding on to that? Had you used it at any point in the season? And how well did it come together on that fourth down?
I think it was it week one we tried it, and it didn't go so well. We put it on the ground, and it was one of them ones that you practice all the time, and you just kind of got in the back burner, and you don't really think about it. And you know how it is with those type of plays. But it's like everything else you do. You kind of look at the kids' reaction and stuff, and that one sticks out in my mind because when we run in practice, it's fun. You know, it's one of them ones that kids like to run and they like to do. And you know, if something's fun, they're probably going to work hard at it. And then obviously it paid off for us.
How do you decide, and maybe how do you know when to pull something like that out? Is that something that you plan as the week progresses? Do you see something in tape that you really like, or is it just an instinct?
I think I get real lucky sometimes. But no, Adam has that stuff planned out real well for our offense, and he knows when something like that's going to work. And you know, we just kind of suggested, and he said, you know what, yeah, that's going to go and that's going to work for us. And then, you know, fourth and two on what, we're on a 1 foot line or something, we were kind of doubting ourselves and like, well, do we want to try that with the two handoffs and that? But you know, like I said, it's one of the things that the kids like doing, and if you do that, they're probably going to be successful with it.
I think you mentioned that you tried in week one and it didn't work out. What exactly went down in that contest?
The ball did. I don't think we got the exchange in the first one. I think between Darian and Logan, the ball ended up on the ground. It was a fumble for us. But, you know, it's one of them things that it's going to go or isn't, I guess. So.
Yeah, and, you know, it was kind of an interesting situation to pull it out. You know, you really feel like you need a score, as both teams had struggled to put the ball in the end zone all night. And it was raining before the game. It actually stopped for the most part during the first half, but then it picked back up in the third quarter. How do you guys, and I'll open this one up to the players again, how do you guys think the conditions really impacted that contest against DeSoto?
The ball was wet. It was slick.
Yeah, and I mean, that's got to make everything difficult as far as throwing the football, running the football, just making sure you hold on to it. I mean, what is that like?
Hard. I don't know.
certainly not easy, as neither team would end up going to score in the final frame, and St. Jen emerged with a 14-0 victory against DeSoto. St. Jen improves their record to 6-2 with the victory, while DeSoto falls to 4-4 in defeat. So you guys have got a lot of momentum going with you right now as you head close into playoff time. You've got one more contest here in the regular season. And once again, I'll open this up to the players, and we'll see if we can get a nice answer out of you guys. What do you kind of feel like has been the difference from the beginning of the season? Not that you like massively struggled at any point, but from there to here, what has changed the most and allowed you to get to this point?
Team relationship, honestly. We were all playing individually for through the first couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden we just grew as a team together, and we were able to play as a unit.
And what kind of goes into that? Do you guys just talk about that in the locker room, how to kind of get more togetherness on the field?
We go to the locker room, we have to like talk, we pull everyone inside and like make sure no one's trying to play for each other, but play for the person next to you and play for your coaches.
Yeah, and obviously that's a huge thing, is, you know, camaraderie. You got to have that as you progress throughout a season, and that's something that you have to work on. Do you guys like to hang out a lot outside of football?
Mostly. Some of us go out to eat, like, after games. Like, before games, we'll all hang out, talk. We have team dinners before our game, and some of us, after the game, some of us go hang out at each other's houses. Some of them go play Fortnite. The rest of us play Madden.
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad you brought up the Fortnite thing, because I remember from your senior night, the funniest thing was, I was sitting next to your guys' PA announcer, who was, you know, announcing all of your senior aspirations after you got out of school and stuff like that. And it seemed to be a very common theme that Fortnite was getting dubs with the boys, I think was about the exact quote. That was coming up a lot, and I actually like Fortnite quite a bit. I think it's really fun, but is that kind of a way that you guys bond off the field, just something you can do after practice and just chill and relax?
Yeah, we definitely grind out some Fortnite whenever we have free time, especially like us wide receivers and D-backs, our line.
Now everyone pointed at you. Can you share the name, your name for the crowd?
D-Staff 23.
You see, yes, and now everybody looked right at you when I brought up Fortnite. Is there a reason for that? Are you, like, the best player, or maybe is it the opposite? Are you one of the worst ones?
The only player.
I'm middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack?
Yeah.
How many dubs do you guys get per week?
Probably like 15.
15. Wow. 15, that seems a little high, but I'll go with it. So, anyways, we've kind of established that you guys have bonded off the field pretty well and things like that. And, you know, with your careers winding down, I think all of you are seniors, is that right? All of you. So what do you want the end of your senior year to kind of look like as, you know, you've been around the program for a while, but this is it, and this is it's coming to a close. So what do you guys want your lasting memories of school to be?
I get that district championship, all play together as play for the name on the front of our jersey, not just the number on our back. Play together as a team and come out on top, see what we can end up this season with.
Yeah, in the season's brothers.
Yep, and as far as past teams that you guys have been on, you guys have been around for a while now. Where does this compare to previous squads?
We're pretty close-knit. I mean, we get each other up. Don't fight much.
Coach, where's kind of your perspective on that? Obviously, you've been around as long as they have, if obviously a little bit longer. But you've seen these guys throughout their careers. How have they grown, and how has this senior class progressed throughout the years?
I think they've hit the nail on the head. They've come together as a group, you know, beyond my expectations of them. And we did struggle early in the season with kind of going different ways and stuff. And, you know, it's one of them things as a coach, you kind of – I try to take care of it, but you want the kids to take care of it. You know, that's got to come from them, and they got to understand what you're doing. And I think this group, especially these four, kind of figured that out early on. And I don't know what they say in the locker room, and that's kind of their room. They did it, and you know, like they told you earlier, they kind of got it figured out, and they've come together these last couple of weeks in ways that we didn't do earlier, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. You know, just what they said, and. You know, I hope it keeps going for them. To me, it relates back to the first year I had here and that group and the way they just kind of all, you know, you don't have to be, you know, a lot of these guys, Grant plays for now with his buddies and Ty and Clayton are real tight. You know, they're driving cars and trucks and doing things like that. And Isaac's kind of the go-between in a lot of the different groups just because he's just that type of personal guy. But, I think they've kind of all found their different things, and when they come together on Fridays and even during the week, they come together, and it's truly becoming a good family.
Coach, you mentioned some of the early struggles in the season. What game or maybe games were, like, specifically pivotal points in your year to turn things around?
Well, the second half of the Kennett game was an eye-opener for us because, you know, first 2 weeks, well, I thought we played real well. You know, we beat Dexter, and then we went to Valley and obviously got that win, and we were riding high. And even halfway through Kennett, we thought we were a pretty good football team. And then he kind of humbled us. And, you know, we did some things in Kennett that we just couldn't do against good teams. And it's one of the things you kind of got to go through, I think, if you're going to be a good team and live through it. And you talk about, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, you've got to play this way. And I think we kind of thought we didn't need to do that, you know. And we looked at it as coaches especially and said, okay, you know, this didn't work real well for us. What are we going to do different with this group? You can't treat them all the same. You know, we found our niche with this group. I know Adam Ryan, I talked a lot, and Kellen, those guys are a lot younger than I am, a lot closer in age with these guys, and they said, you know what, let's find the identity of this team, and let's see what works, and I think we're getting it.
Yeah, and Coach, you know, you mentioned just finding your identity early on in the season. How important is that to do earlier in the year as opposed to in the middle of the season or later?
Well, you want to do it as early as you can, but, you know, we're all different characters, and that's not always easy to do. And sometimes there's headbutting. Sometimes you think you're there, and things just don't work out, you know. But, you know, the bottom line is I think when everybody understands that everybody's got one purpose, you know, we all want to be successful. And it's wins and losses, but it's a lot of different things that we want to come out of this with. And I think when these guys understand where we're coming from, and especially me, like I said, being a little older, I understand where they're coming from. You kind of got to find common ground and, okay, what are we trying to do here? And I think we're there. I think we've, you know, at least I know I am. I know what these guys want, and my goal is just to help them get it.
Let's get to know everybody a little bit. Let's go around the table, and you guys can kind of introduce yourselves and just say something that you really like doing. And let's try and do something other than Fortnite, though, because I think we hit that on the head pretty well. We'll go to Coach Wyke, too. In fact, we'll go to Coach Wyke off the top. And, Coach, just say something you kind of like to do and let the audience learn a little bit about you.
Spend time with my grandkids, man. That's my hobby right now. I got some boys running around, and I have fun with them, especially on the weekends.
All right.
Playing ball and working on my buggy.
Next.
I'm Isaac Boyd. I just like hanging out with my family and friends, just building relationships early, because I know life's kind of short. Just got to spend more time with them. People are just going to come and go.
Ty Brown, living for the moment. Riding four-wheelers, hunting, hanging out with buddies.
Grant Staffin, I like hanging out with my friends and going fishing.
All right, good job, guys. Thanks for steering clear of the Fortnite, although I do love that you guys are all big consumers of the game, because I am too, to be completely honest about it. All right, that was the St. Genevieve Dragons, victors 14-0 over DeSoto last week on Friday. Thanks to Coach Wyke and the players. They'll be back in just a little while for the NFL Pick'em segments. Back with more next on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Roundtable Show.
Make your backyard a paradise for your whole family. You can do it with a swimming pool. Hi, I'm Angie DeClue with Home Pools and Spas. We can make your vacation destination right outside your back door. Above ground or in ground, you have a choice of selections. Install now for years of great times.
Everybody's going home, pool and spa.
To see pools and pricing, go to our website, homepoolsandspas.net. Again, I'm Angie DeClue, owner of Home Pools and Spas, inviting you to stop by. We're located just south of the Ludington exit.
Investing in a degree or certificate from Mineral Area College can pay you dividends. It's why we've been serving the surrounding community since 1922. Studies consistently show people who get an education after high school still earn a lot more in their lifetime. Show yourself you care. Invest in your education. Check MAC out at mineralarea.edu or call us at 573-431-4593, because MAC is your next step.
There are lots of things to love about the 2018 Toyota RAV4. Just ask the people who bought one, but be prepared to get an earful. They might mention its versatile build and flexible cargo space. They'll probably rave about its available heated front seats, sport-tuned suspension, and all-wheel drive with dynamic torque control. But the one thing they absolutely won't stop talking about comes standard: the RAV4 suite of advanced safety features, which includes a pre-collision system with pedestrian detection and lane departure alert with steering assist. It's a brilliant bit of technology that helps you respond to changing road conditions. It helps keep you safe without sacrificing performance, and it doesn't cost anything extra. You love it already, don't you? Tested, trusted, Toyota. Toyota, let's go places.
Lane departure alert and pre-collision systems are not a substitute for safe and attentive driving practices.
See Twin City Toyota, I-55 at the Herculaneum Auto Mall exit. Don't think twice. Think Twin City.
It's Coles Tractor Equipment Football Roundtable on J98 The Boots. And let's take a look at the play of the week for week 8 of high school football season.
Going to go for it here on 4th and goal from the 2. Gegg behind center. Gegg is going to hand it off to Brown. A reverse, and now looking to throw to the end zone, and a catch for Logan Gegg. A trick play, and Logan Trollinger ends up throwing it as Brown took the handoff. A reverse back to Trollinger, and Trollinger throws it to Gegg, who started it off by handing it off to Brown.
Andy, I don't know why you're shaking your head over there. That's Philly special. Oh, it's the Astros. I thought you were throwing it over my head.
Come on. Yeah, don't worry about me and Andy's reaction to anything the rest of the night.
All the guys from Houston over there.
Yeah. Nick gets his first play of the week call. The other ones throughout the season, Royce Harris had a punt return for a touchdown in week 1. Seth Lounsbury in week 2 had a long touchdown for Seckman. Sizemore had a touchdown run for Hillsborough in week 3. In week 4 was Grant Staffin pick 6 for St. Genevieve. So this is the second one for St. Gen as well. Graves. He outran the opposition for a touchdown in week 5. North County's Jalen Reed had a 99-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown. And last week, Clayton Snudden had the game-winning touchdown from Briar Fisher. And well, now it sits with Matt 3, Chad and Andy of 2. Nick's got his first. I'm still sitting in the basement with 0. But, Coach, I don't know if Nick asked you in the last segment, but is that play in your playbook called Philly Special?
No, no, it's not.
No?
It's got its own little name.
What is the name?
It's Sooner.
Sooner?
Yeah.
Okay. So was it more than the play that Oklahoma ran in, I believe it was the Rose Bowl game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more based with that one. Yeah.
More based
yeah.
with that one. Okay. I was wondering if it was actually, you know, Philly Special or Philly or something like that. No, they ran it more recently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little twist off of the local Oklahoma one. So.
I'm glad Kevin Hughes is no longer here just because he'd spend the next 10 minutes, the rest of the show would just be bragging about how that's called Sooner. He's a Sooner alum too.
It's
so.
The second time that they've ran it this year. So
oh, is it?
A couple
oh,
times.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all Adam Sherry, man. That's just. Me nod my head and saying, yeah, that's a good one, buddy. And
you're always pushing, you said last year when you had him on, too, to make those kind of like aggressive and creative calls, because we were talking about the option back to the quarterback from Monday Night Football the night before with Mitchell Trubisky last year.
Yeah, you know, why not? And you know, we talk about with our kids, you got nothing to lose. You know, we're playing on Friday nights. We're trying to win like everybody else, but we're having fun. And, you know, it's like I said earlier, the kids really like that play in practice. And it didn't work for us week one. We put the ball on the ground. You know, we're kind of shaking our heads, but it worked for us that time, so.
Yeah, they always like those creative plays. I remember asking Coach, wrong ball players, the one we would always ask if we could run.
Yeah.
One other thing we do want to mention, Herculaneum cross-country runner Nautica Strickland has been named the Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy Play It Forward Athlete of the Week. You can find the story about that online at mymoinfo.com. Another impressive week for her fourth JCAA championship in cross-country individually. Now previewing next week's game on Thursday, I'm going to have Troy Buchanan at Festus. Again, this is a Festus Tiger team that had a disappointing week last Friday night. You know, they didn't play up to the level that Coach Schmidt expected from them, and now they got to face a tough Class 6 opponent in Troy Buchanan. So we'll see what kind of fight they put up this Thursday night. They'll be on AM 1400 KGF, 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:45 Fleet's Equipment pregame.
Matt and I were talking off air. We were going to kind of break that district down a little bit with Festus, and Festus right now sitting third in the district, Sean. But after week 9, there's a chance they could tumble all the way to 6, you know, if the way it breaks, because there's less than there's about a half a point separating 3rd and 5th in Class 4 District 1.
Right.
And if they would fall to 5th, then right behind them would then be Hillsborough, who beat them and could flip over them. So could be a big week for Festus.
Yeah, this is a huge week for Festus. There could be a lot of implications for a lot of teams really on the line with who can jump who in all districts, including yours, Coach White, with I think you guys lost to Central, but you beat Potosi as well, and Potosi beat Central, so there's kind of a weird mix going on as well, where certain teams can jump other teams and others can't jump others.
Yeah, that's why I'll wait till Sunday morning and somebody will call me and tell me who we're playing.
You didn't even check Friday night?
Well, yeah, I'll check, but you know, it's one of them things that you just gotta wait and see how it points out.
That's one thing Mission's very good at. I don't know how to figure out the math behind all of it, but they're very good at updating it that evening, so you know who's playing who
that Friday night. And Ryan's our math teacher, and then he calls our defense, and he'll have it figured out point wise. But again, I'll wait till I hear from them.
I want his mathematical formula so I can kind of peek.
It's good to have a mathematician on your side.
There you go.
I may be emailing you about that tomorrow or later tonight, see if I can get that formula.
Okay.
So this coming Friday night, the games that we're going to be covering, Chad, you've got Farmington at Central on KREI, two crosstown teams that haven't played each other in a little bit, getting back together to play some football in week 9.
You know, it's so fun when those two communities play, and it doesn't even matter the sport. Everybody gets out and just loves the matchup, and you know, a little chatter between alums and people living in the town and stuff. It's a series that has been played a lot of times, but there was a 15-year hiatus. They played in 99 and didn't actually play again until a few years ago, where they played in 14 and 15, and they split those 2 years. And then they wanted to re-up. The coaches like it. The communities like it. But it didn't work out with the schedules. And now they've got it back up and going again. For Central, the Central hasn't had a losing record since 2008. So it's been 10 years. They've had a great 10-year run of tremendous football. But, you know, they would have a losing regular season if they fell this time. For Farmington, they're looking for their best season since 2011. So, you know, there's always a little flux in terms of what program is up or down, but no matter what, it's always a fun matchup.
Then over on at J98, Andy, you've got Potosi at DeSoto, and
This is, again, some implications like we were just talking about. Potosi, if they win this game, they're playing a team that is up a class in Class 4. They could make some moves up the district standings.
They could, and I'm sure, Coach, you're probably a Potosi fan this week because if Potosi jumps Central, then you get to hang on to that too. DeSoto, on the other hand, they're trying to, you know, kind of keep pace in their standings. They're right next to Hillsborough. They're behind them at the moment. They could flip them as well if Hillsborough stays right next to them. So a lot of implications there. Both of these two teams, you know, they played last year. It was a double overtime thriller. Matt and I were at it. It was decided on a game-winning field goal. DeSoto was able to win that. Both of these teams have improved since then. I think they've both taken steps forward, especially on the defensive side. So it'll be interesting to see how they have shown off their growth this year. And it'll be a telling matchup as to, you know, who's really grown the most.
How do you see this one breaking down, Coach?
I think, you know, he's the nail on the head. It's going to be right down to the wire, you know. And those both teams, I mean, we faced them both real recently. And it's going to be a physical game. You know, it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be who's got the ball last, but it's going to be the toughest team's going to walk out of that sore, but they're going to walk out a winner.
Rather walk out sore and a winner than sore, because both teams are walking out sore. Yeah. One of them's a winner.
Well, there you go. Yeah, it's going to be a physical game, and they're both going to, you know, they're big kids. Gosh dang, both of them guys have big lines, and it'll probably be a fun game to watch.
And then over on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game, Valley Catholic visiting St. Pius. Nick, you're going to be seeing Valley Catholic again for the second time since you've joined us, and taking on another tough opponent in the St. Pius Lancers.
Yeah, Valley's certainly got their swagger back since that tough start to the year, at least tough for them. You know, they're used to starting out undefeated for quite a while. They go to St. Pius, though, a team that's had an amazing season, and it's going to be a challenge for them. I think that Coach Nagger, when I talk to him tomorrow, is going to say the same thing he said to me right before the Jefferson game, which is we're massive underdogs, and whether he means it or not, that's probably the attitude he's going to take. And I expect Valley to be ready. I expect St. Pius to be ready on their home field. Should be one heck of a matchup.
I imagine that's an attitude he instills in them more often than not, but especially with, you mentioned the tough start to the season they had, and you guys actually beat them week two this season for the first time in, I believe it was 5 years.
It's been a while. Yeah. First time for me ever.
What was the first? Oh, that was the first time in your tenure.
Coaching.
Is that
coaching,
that
yeah,
feel then?
Yeah. Oh, it felt great. You know, I faced them when I was at Crystal also. So they're a tough team, man, and a lot of respect for them in the program. And, you know, we hung our hat on that one. We were proud of our kids. You know, it's like you said, it's been a while. And that's a tough game. It's like that Park Hills rivalry. The towns like it, you know, and everybody likes that game, and everybody gets up for it. And when you come away a winner from that one, you know, you're pretty proud of yourself.
Is there any point, like, late in that game? I know it was extremely close, but where it crosses your mind, like, this could actually happen. This could be the night.
Oh, yeah, you know, it does a bunch of times. And at the same time, it's going, oh, this could be the night we blow it, too. But, yeah, that was a fun game to be a part of, man. It was back and forth, you know, a lot of defense, which I like that game. And it was a fun game to be a part of.
And then on AM 1400 KJF on Friday night, Poplar Bluff visiting Hillsborough, another tough opponent for the Hillsborough Hawks that, kind of like the Festus Tigers, they got a tough end to the season as well. Hillsborough dropped that game to DeSoto. They had Jackson this past Friday night, and now Poplar Bluff, who Chad has seen as well.
You know, Bluff, yeah, beat them last year, but Bluff was, my gosh, they were good last year. And then they went undefeated through the regular season. They're not
this
the team,
year, no,
they're not the team
no.
they were last year, but you know, Hillsborough's kind of stubbed their toe a little bit too, Matt.
Yeah, they certainly have. They've lost their last three in a row. They won three in a row, then they lost three in a row. So it's been a back-and-forth season for Coach Freeman and those guys. But, you know, Hillsborough, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. They're going to stick with what they know, and that's running the football and running the football and running the football. And Poplar Bluff, yeah, they are down a lot this year. They're 3-5. Yeah. That's a complete 180 on the record side of things. So don't yet know much about what Poplar Bluff brings to the table, but it's a school, it's a class above Hillsborough, and so usually that means there's a little bit more talent there as well, at least certainly a larger group of players to choose from. So it's going to be a tough battle for the Hillsborough Hawks, but you know what? You go into the ball game 0-0 and see what happens.
Well, if tracking these district standings tells us anything, I know you can't really say this team beat this team, and therefore that team will beat that team.
Right.
But I have seen, you know, Farmington and Bluff and Hillsborough. And Hillsborough, of course, did beat Farmington. And Farmington beat Poplar Bluff, and it shouldn't have probably been as close as it was. if Hillsborough kind of reestablishes Matt where they were, you know, earlier in the season when they were really improving, this is a game that I think, even playing up in a class, I think it's a game that can win.
Well, and I'm always curious, whenever you have a big win like Hillsborough did over Farmington, how often are you going back to that film and say, you know, and using that as a teaching point for how you should be playing all of your football games?
That's a good question. Do you do that, Coach?
Not as much as you think. You know, it's one of the things that apples and oranges, I think, a lot of times. You know, if you're playing somebody different, you got to truly prepare for that opponent. And we go back to the Valley game. I don't want to keep watching that game because that game's in the past, you know, and we want to move on and kind of focus on what's ahead of us. But that's just me, you know.
Yeah, I was just throwing that out there. I mean, obviously you're going to get a different look, a different defensive look from every team that you're going to play. So, yeah, I could see why you wouldn't go back and look at the film there.
Well, you look at your kid's effort, and that's what you do. You go at what you did right in that game, and you point out those things, and we do that throughout the season.
But from an X's and O's standpoint, you just kind of leave it behind.
So on this coming Friday night, Coach, you guys are going to be visiting Brentwood to end out the season. Give us an idea on what Brentwood brings to the table.
Athleticism, man. They've got some kids that are just phenomenal. And, we saw the same. There's a couple of twins that play for them, and they take care of the ball. They do good things with it. They're not as big as they've been in the past, and they don't have as big a team as they've had in the past. But we're going to have our hands full. A lot of it depends on the weather. It's calling for rain and cold and stuff, and they're grass field, so that might hamper some of the things that both of us do. It might hamper our throwing game down a little bit and their running game. But they're athletic, and we played them the last few years, and they're hard to get a hold of, man. They do some things good on offense, and it's funny, some of the plays you're talking about, some of these special plays and that we've kind of robbed from them in the past, just good looking plays, and you look at them and go, wow, that's pretty nice, let's try that. And they're a good team. Their record's not real great this year, but they've played some good games, and said we've got to have a really good defensive game this week.
With the two quarterbacks that you have, both pass, both run, Gag's more of the runner, Dunsey more of the passer for you, but you mentioned the weather. Do you kind of think going into that game that, all right, maybe we should game plan to use Gag a little bit more than we normally do just because the weather may not allow us to pass as much? Is that something that crosses your mind at all?
Oh, yeah, it crosses, but it's one of the things you don't know. So you plan everything. And this time of year, I think we're like everybody else. You don't want to be on the field real long, So you kind of cut back your drill time and your team time. You get everybody equal time. And you try to get as many things done as you can without being on the field real long. And kids' bodies are wearing down. It's getting late, in the season, and you don't need to do things so many times over and over again. So we try to get everybody equal reps and get as many looks as we can.
St. Genevieve at Brentwood this Friday night. Other Friday night games include Crystal City visiting Grandview. Fox will host Northwest. Jefferson, they're going to be at home taking on St. Vincent. Fredericktown visits East Prairie. And Charleston is at Herculaneum, while Seckman visits Eureka. And Bayless is at Windsor then. Two games on Saturday. North County at John Burroughs, and Sumner is at Perryville. Matt, you had something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the fact that I think Jefferson's going to have a heck of a Friday night taking on St. Vincent, a team that we all know confidence-wise believes in themselves higher than maybe a lot of teams around here. And
they've been rolling of late too, St. Vincent.
Yeah, I mean, they gave St. Pius a good game on St. Pius' homecoming, only lost by five, actually had a lead at a couple of points in that game. And I know we already talked about how you can't really compare this and this because of who beats who team-wise, but St. Vincent got a chance to see a St. Pius team that only lost by 15 to Jefferson. It was a one-point game going into the fourth quarter, Jefferson-St. Pius. So, there are quite a few opponents on Jefferson's schedule where they can look at a team and be like, okay, this will, be an easier game for us. But I think they're going to look at St. Vincent and they're going to be like, all right, guys, it's going to be a tough battle tonight.
Certainly should be a good game on Saturday, North County at John Burroughs, Sumner at Perryville as well. We'll take a break, and when we return on the Coles Tractor Equipment Football Roundtable, we'll talk a little Mizzou. Great start to the season for the Missouri Tigers. They've dropped three in a row since then, so we'll see what they can do from here. We'll preview that, and we'll also do a little NFL pick'em as well. One person between Chad and I, well, they pulled away in first place. We'll let you know who that is when we return on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98.
Make it a great family night at Applebee's Bar and Grill in Farmington. Hi, my name is Amy Cousins, general manager of your local store. Maybe start out with a couple of appetizers, boneless wings, onion rings, mozzarella sticks, spinach artichoke dip, chicken quesadilla. There's so much to choose from.
Let the kids pick from the kids' menu, then for yourself, choose one of our favorites. Steaks, ribs, seafood, pasta, we have it all. Go to Applebee's.com for the full menu and look for our happy hour prices. Doing good in the neighborhood, Applebee's Bar and Grill in Farmington.
When life changes, where can you get the health care that you or your loved one needs? Try Presbyterian Manor, where we consider you family. Being a member of our family means having a skilled, compassionate team, making sure you live your best life. Call 573-756-6768 today and schedule a visit to see why the community voted us the best independent living, best assisted living, and best skilled nursing community in the Parkland area.
If you have water or fire damage in your home or business, call Bryant Restoration at 986-3260. Hi, I'm Reggie Aubuchon, owner of Bryant Restoration. At Bryant Restoration, we strive to provide an efficient, transparent experience to help take the stress out of your situation. Bryant Restoration is IICRC certified, and we work with all insurance companies. Locally owned and operated, we have locations in St. Francis County and Poplar Bluff, covering all of Southeast Missouri. We'd like to wish all local high school athletes good luck this season. Bryant Restoration, online at bryantrestorationco.com.
So, here's something you might have experienced. I used to post to job boards, only to spend countless hours
sorting through way too many resumes,
just to find a few qualified candidates for
my tech sales teams,
the trucking business I hire for,
my hair salons.
That old process was definitely not smart.
Then I went to ZipRecruiter. They figured out hiring.
ZipRecruiter did the work for me. Their powerful matching technology scanned thousands of resumes
to find people with the right skills, education, and experience for my job.
And actively invited them to apply.
So I got qualified candidates fast. Smart.
See why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. Try ZipRecruiter now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. Based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with over 1,000 reviews.
It's Colts Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on a J98. The Boot Show, Malone alongside Andy Humphrey, Nick Lewis, Matt Greenwood, and pair of players for St. Genevieve rejoining us as well, Ty Brown and Grant Staffin. We'll be talking a little bit more when the NFL pick'em rolls them around, too. They're pretty confident in their picks, they were telling me, so we'll see next week how their confidence plays out. In the meantime, though, Mizzou football, their confidence, it's probably at the low point for the season so far. Yeah, they played some tough opponents, but started off 3-0. Now they've lost three since, back to an even 3-3 on the season. Andy, a tough stretch for Mizzou. We knew this tough stretch was coming, but you would think maybe South Carolina was a game they were going to pull out. Losing that one really hurts them now.
Yeah, it was only two tough opponents. South Carolina is not a tough opponent, and they played down to them. So, I mean, that's what happened. And, look, this last weekend, this was a loss on Mizzou's schedule once Mizzou's schedule came out. I mean, we knew this was going to be a loss on the road against Alabama. Nobody's doing that this year. So you look to homecoming this weekend when they – play Memphis. I mean, homecoming's always a big deal. You want to put the best product on the field. Memphis, obviously the team that Barry Odom came from. He was their D coordinator a few years ago, became Mizzou's D coordinator, and then got promoted to head coach. You'd think that Memphis would want to play and try and get back at Barry Odom a little bit. You think Barry Odom wants to get back at them. So it'll be an interesting one. Mizzou, and Memphis is no pushover either, since last year they were a 10-win team, and they took UCF, who went undefeated, to two overtimes last year, and this year they're pretty strong this time around also. So it's a tough non-con game for Mizzou, their final non-con of the year, and you just have to see how things play out, because this stretch that they have upcoming is probably the most key when they have Memphis coming up and some of their big conference opponents like Florida and Kentucky, wins that they really need to have if they want to have some sort of respectable year.
And like last year, at this point, we were speculating whether or not Barry Odom would have a job at this time of the year, whether or not he would end the season with a job, and then he pulled off that impressive stretch at the end of the year. They snuck into a bowl game, and here's Barry Odom once again
coaching for the Missouri Tigers for another season.
Well, and I mean, people were saying on Twitter and whatnot during the Alabama loss, oh man, Barry Odom's terrible. You don't fire Barry Odom because he lost on the road to Alabama by 29 points. Everybody's losing by that much. So, I mean, look, Barry Odom, the reason why you fire him is for losses like at South Carolina. That's why you fire Barry Odom. And we have to see what he does for the second half of the year. If, look, I can't give you a number as to what Barry Odom needs to get in order to keep his job. If it's 7-5 or 6-6, or, you know, if he misses a bowl game, I wouldn't bring him back. But
or even, I mean, if he needs to win a bowl game, you know, if he gets to a bowl game, maybe they don't run off, maybe they kind of skate by through the rest of the season, get into a bowl game and lose. You got to wonder at that point if that may not be enough for Mizzou.
It might be tough if the bowl game is the deciding factor in whether or not you're going to fire your head coach if it's a middling bowl game like that after finishing 7-5 or 8-4. But, I mean, this is the stretch where Barry Odom went on a six-game winning streak. This is the exact point in the season where that happened. Will it happen again? If it does, it's 9-3. If not, you're looking at probably the same place you were last year.
Missouri Tigers, they take on Memphis on Saturday with a 3 o'clock kickoff. 1 o'clock pregame show on AM 1400 KJEF and AM 800 KREI. As we now turn to the NFL pick-em, I teased it before. One person between Chad and I pulled away into first place by a wide margin. It wasn't me, though. It was Chad. He's up to 63.34% after getting 11 picks right last week. I only got 8 of them correct, so I'm sitting at 60.22. Nick Lewis catching up a little bit. He's in third place right now, 59.02%. The coach is at 55.91%, just above the players who are sitting at 54%. Andy and Matt tied for second to last with 52.69%
Atta baby.
Each. Yeah, but Nick, Andy's doing it, getting 10 right with a coin flip as well because he got 4 right a couple of weeks ago. So it's working for you. And rounding things off is on Twitter with the Parkland pick, just a hair above 50% on the season. So Ty Brown, Grant Staffin, they join us, and you guys are sounding pretty confident in your picks. You got 4 minds that you're combining over there now, which is the most of any team so far this season. So you better be confident heading into this. You know, silence.
They didn't sound so confident right there. Come on.
It's radio, so the death stare doesn't really play over too well then. All right, so now we'll turn to the picks, and we're going to start off Thursday night with Denver visiting Arizona. This one could be a bit of a tough one. That could probably go either way, but I'm going to go with Arizona, the home team, topping Denver. I think just the Denver defense on Rundy has not been that good. Maybe this is a breakout game for David Johnson that he hasn't really had this season, so I got him in a fantasy league too, so I'm really hoping for that. I'll double down, go Arizona. Chad's got Denver. Matt?
Does it really matter at this point? I'm bottom of the barrel, right?
No, but you're not. Twitter is worse than you.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
We're still bottom of the barrel.
You know what? I'm gonna hold my tongue on that one. I'll just take Arizona and move on to Nick.
Nick, who you got?
Well, while we're talking fantasy football, I just traded for Philip Lindsay. So let's go with Denver.
All right, so you got Denver. You're doubling down as well. Andy?
Look at that. Coach Wyke has Denver. Let's see who the coin has. Arizona.
Arizona for Nick, or Andy, excuse me, in the coin. And Ty, Grant, which way are you guys going?
Denver.
Denver. All right. So Denver Broncos for the St. Genevieve Players. And now we turn to the Sunday games. This one's going to be an early start, 8:30 Central Time, as it's being played overseas in England. Tennessee versus the Los Angeles Chargers. I've got the LA Chargers in this one. Tennessee, I know Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. I'm not buying that for the Tennessee Titans, though. I don't think they're as good as their record shows. So give me the LA Chargers. Give Chad the LA Chargers. Matt, which way are you leaning?
Chargers.
Chargers.
Nick. Well, what does it matter?
Tennessee just had an embarrassing loss. The Chargers just had a dominating victory. I'll take LA.
Ask Nick what it matters, though. He just went from bottom of the barrel all the way up to third place right now.
12 out of 15.
Coach Wyke has LA. Do you guys have LA? Are y'all picking the Chargers?
But Tennessee's my team.
Tennessee
That's
is your team.
You're going against your team.
Will Compton fan?
Yes.
He's good.
He's good. Good. Okay, I wasn't sure because not from St. Genevieve, from North County, but close enough to the area maybe you would pull for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Andy, which way is the coin going in this one?
As
continue to struggle.
That's a foul. That's also a foul. Could not catch it that time. And
we may need to have the coin pre-pick.
No. Tennessee.
Tennessee for the coin.
It's because he's trying to look cool catching it, and it's not working.
It's radio. No one can tell whether or not you catch
it. He's looking at
hand.
He's trying to do it all smooth and
Nick's
stuff, and
checking
it's just not working.
Me. He's making sure that I'm not, cheating or anything.
I'm looking really close.
Yeah.
I almost want to give Chad a loss for this next one because he didn't fill out either team.
So you know what? I'll do the same thing that you always do with picking the tie.
It's a tie.
Chad picked the tie because what goes on
okay.
the air is what's official.
There
so
you
Chad's
go.
Got a tie for New England at Chicago.
Oh, could man.
Happen.
I've got the Chicago Bears in this one, though. I'm going in on their defense at home. Trubisky playing well, so
why
give
not?
Me the Chicago Bears.
Why not?
Why not, Matt?
Nah, you lost to Miami in overtime. That to me doesn't give you much credit to win against New England Patriots. So Patriots.
Nick,
wow. I'm still pretty mad that they beat the Chiefs, but I'll go with New England.
Wow. New England.
Coach Wyke has New England. Let's see if the coin likes your Chicago pick. No, it doesn't. That's a terrible pick, Sean. Why'd you ever do that? Come on.
Coin did better than me last week, so maybe I should change my pick. Guys, which way is St. Genevieve going?
As much as I don't like Tom Brady, I'm going with England.
You're not a Tom Brady fan?
Nah.
Is it because of the Super Bowl all those years ago still? Oh, man. So you guys are going with New England then, you said?
Yes.
Okay, New England officially for St. Genevieve. Buffalo at Indianapolis. Nathan Peterman, this is a stat that I saw, about 12% of his passes on his career have been intercepted. That is
thought it would have been higher.
That's like when you're playing your younger sibling in Madden, who's like 6 or 7 years younger than you. They've never played before. You just give them the controller and you just take them to town. That's how you get stats like that. So I'm not picking Buffalo. I'm picking Indianapolis. Chad's got Indianapolis. Matt, who you got?
Two atrocious teams, but who's worse? Buffalo. So I'll take Indy.
And who's at home? Indy. So
Indy.
I've got Indy.
Wow. Nick, or excuse me, Andy.
Yeah, Indianapolis for Coach Wyke.
That's beautiful. Man. Oh, yes. That was a good toss.
Good
you messed
flip,
up the catch.
Too. I should have caught that. Man, that was tough. That's another pretty good one there. Wow. Coin's going with Buffalo.
Ooh.
I don't know about
Buffalo's
that.
Buffalo's had a pair of
the coin,
weird upsets
right?
this year, though. They beat Tennessee earlier when Tennessee was looking good, and they beat Minnesota.
I don't know
so
what
knows.
You guys are talking about, Nathan Peterman. That guy's a Pro Bowler.
Yeah. This is either going to be the game Nathan Peterman retires at halftime from, the second player in Bill,
Ooh,
for the Bills this season to do it,
maybe.
Or he's going to have a career game and they're going to win by 70. St. Genevieve, where are you guys going? Ty, Grant.
Definitely the Colts.
The Colts in this one. All right, make it a smart choice. Detroit, they're visiting Miami. Chad's got Detroit on the road. I've got Miami at home. Matt, which way are you leaning?
Oh, go Dolphins, but I don't really have any confidence in it.
Did you just make your picks at random? You haven't really elaborated on any of them yet. Were you flipping a coin as well?
No, I think
we're
I should.
Running low on time.
I think I should reserve the deep explanations for those who actually do a good job on this pick'em thing. But I'm not, so I think I save everybody time if I just make a pick and move on to Nick.
The coin doesn't explain it.
Chad hasn't
Why
been on at all, and he's in first place.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for backing me up with
That's
your
right.
coin.
That's right.
Nick,
Miami's due for one of those losses that they're not supposed to have. Let me get Detroit.
Andy.
Let's see. Detroit for Coach Wyke and Miami for me.
Miami for Andy. And boys, which way are you going?
We're going with Detroit.
Detroit for the boys. All right. Minnesota, New York Jets. Chad didn't fill that one out either. That may have to go down as another tie. I'll convene with him. It's not fair if I give him two tie opportunities just because he's in first place and I'm trailing him in second place. So we'll convene with Chad later. Minnesota at New York, though, taking on the Jets. I've got the Jets at home. The Minnesota Vikings have just not figured it out for some reason. Even in their wins, they haven't been pretty. And the Jets have won three in a row. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Sam Darnold and the Jets. Matt?
I concur. Nick?
I'm starting to get a little bit worried about this Dalvin Cook thing. I don't know when he's going to be back.
Right.
But I did like how Latavius Murray played this Sunday, and my fantasy team did too. So I'll take Minnesota.
Wow. Minnesota for Coach Wyke.
Man,
well, that's another drop. This is a record for drops already.
You aren't getting any
Let's
games right
here.
This week.
Clean like the buffalo sauce off your hands
no,
before
I'll
you jump
some,
back on air.
I don't even know what that was. Jets.
Jets for Andy. And boys?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Speaking of fantasy with Dalvin Cook, by the way, you got to pass along a little smack talk to Ryan Reinheimer. I didn't set my lineup in time. Dalvin Cook was my flex, and I still beat him this past week.
Yeah, but the rest of your team is loaded, so
yeah. I'm good at this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now we've got Philadelphia hosting Carolina. Chad also left this one blank. I'll talk to him later about that one. Philadelphia at home for me.
I don't know.
Matt?
Probably thinking about food or something. I'll take the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly. If that's a thing, I don't know.
Well, it is.
It
yeah.
is.
We
okay,
just...
great. Awesome.
We just got done talking about the Philly special with Coach Wyke. Give me the Eagles.
Wow. Coach Wyke picked Philly there, maybe.
Oh, my
that
goodness.
Just let it go wherever. If you missed it again, however it lands.
No. No, we're not doing that.
Well, now you are because you dropped it off the table.
Hang on.
You got to go with that.
Go
in the meantime, St. Genevieve, help us out here while Andy struggles.
Yeah.
We're going with Philadelphia.
Philadelphia
for St. Genevieve.
If Andy can figure it out.
There we go.
It's a coin. It's not that difficult to operate.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia for the coin as well. Cleveland at Tampa Bay. I've got Tampa at home. Chad got Tampa at home. Anyone picking the Browns? Yes.
Ken, Nick. Coach Wyke is.
And Coach Wyke.
I am picking
Nick,
the Browns.
I want your explanation.
Well, you know, bad. I picked them, and I didn't get very many games wrong this last week, but that was one of them against the Chargers, and I got that one really wrong. So I'm just going to go back to the well. It worked with the Cardinals earlier this year when I went back to them, and I'll give them another chance. Browns.
Browns. So while Andy flips the coin, St. Genevieve, which way are you boys going?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa
sure.
Bay at home as Andy continues to just drop everything.
Wow. Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay for the coin.
Great home teams.
I am neither going Cleveland or Tampa Bay.
Tie. This is going to be your tie pick?
Tie. Yeah, sure, why not?
Matt agreed earlier this year after the first 2 weeks of the season to pick one tie every single week.
Yep.
I offered him if he does get one right, it's worth 3 points. So there's a way you could get above 100% right throughout the week then with the way the math would
true.
Work out.
It's true.
Houston at Jacksonville. This one could be interesting. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars bounce because this is a Houston team that's been playing better of late against the Jacksonville Jaguars team that just allowed 40 points to the Dallas Cowboys. This game could be up in the air. I've still got Jacksonville in it, though, as is Chad.
It is a tough call, isn't it? Maybe that could have been my tie, but yeah. Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Nick, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Jacksonville. I think they need a rebound game, and they'll get it.
That's. I think they're going to get the rebound game. I don't think it's going to be a one-sided affair, though.
No.
Andy has no confidence in his Texans,
I don't.
Though.
Jacksonville for Coach Wyke.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's just go with this.
Just however
it was a good spin right there. Yeah. That was pretty good. Jacksonville.
Jacksonville for the coin. I think the coin is intentionally slipping through your fingers because it doesn't want you to flip it. You're just taking
That's
whatever.
That's how you do coin flips, though. I mean, I don't know.
That's not how you're doing it. Anyway, St. Genevieve, which way are you boys going?
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, all right. Now we've got New Orleans visiting Baltimore. Chad's got Baltimore at home. I've got New Orleans on the road. Matt?
Well, New Orleans is one of the fastest teams in the NFL, and they had a whole week to rest those legs, so I'm going Saints.
Nick?
I love Baltimore. Give me the Ravens.
Ravens.
You love Baltimore.
Like this game.
Like South Carolina?
No. I'm just talking about in this game. No,
yeah,
it's not like
kinda
that.
Kind of weird.
It's not like that.
Well,
not
he
like
hops
that.
From team to team, so I mean, it's a, New Orleans for Coach Wyke. The coin says Baltimore. Wow, six straight home teams. How about that? I like it.
Home team does usually win. I think it was like, what, 80-something percent one of the coaches said earlier?
I don't know.
St. Gen, Ty, Grant, which way are you guys going?
You can't go against Drew Brees.
Yeah, I'm picking against Drew Brees and going with the New Orleans Saints.
Have to go with the Saints.
There's four of you there. Which one of these picks, have we gotten to it yet, gave you guys the most trouble where you were debating the most amongst the group?
Buffalo and Indianapolis was a pretty tough one.
The toilet bowl.
Really?
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
I thought it was kind of easy.
Now we see Dallas at Washington. I've got Washington at home. Chad's got Washington at home. Matt?
You know, everyone's saying Dallas has their swag back, but the Redskins are a good home team, and I believe in the Redskins, I guess I'm saying. Yeah, Nick, what do you think?
You know, when I think of premier quarterback matchups, I think of Dak Prescott and Alex Smith. Let me get Washington.
Yeah. Wow. Say that. Well, you're going with Alex Smith. I mean, that's you.
I guarantee you, this time last year, you were talking Alex Smith for MVP with the start he had for the Chiefs season.
Yes, absolutely.
Dallas for Coach Wyke. Coin says, that's a fumble.
You're not getting any games.
Kind of like Ezekiel Elliott. That's another fumble right there. Players, go ahead. We're gonna.
Which way you guys got while Andy tries to figure it out?
Well, that's false about Zeke, but he's going to run all over him.
Okay. So you got the Cowboys in this one? All right, going behind Zeke Elliott. Andy, have you figured it out yet?
George Washington says Washington.
Washington for GW. All right. L.A. Rams, they're the last undefeated team in football. They are visiting the San Francisco 49ers. Chad and I have the Rams. Matt, which way are you going in this
They will remain the only undefeated team in the NFL.
Yeah. Rams, no explanation necessary.
Rams
for Coach Wyke.
The coin?
Coin says.
They actually caught.
Rams.
All right. Then are you guys picking the Rams?
Yes.
All right.
Definitely.
I want to know, are you guys former Rams fans, still pulling for them. Where do you sit within your fanhood of football right now?
I've always been a Tennessee fan.
You've always been a Tennessee fan. Oh, that's right. But you're still pulling for Todd Gurley?
Yeah.
All right, so are you one of those that you want him to have like 300 yards and the team loses? Or you want the Rams as a whole to do well still?
I still want the Rams as a whole to do well. Okay. He's on them.
Always curious to ask people around here what they who they root for. A lot of the coaches say maybe some of them went back to Cardinals fans, which they were earlier. A lot of the kids these days seem to be they're sticking with the Rams. A little easier to still pull for them when they're actually pretty good now. Now we get to the primetime games. It is Cincinnati at Kansas City. I've got the Chiefs bouncing back. Chad's got the Chiefs bouncing back. Matt, do you have the Chiefs as well?
Yes, I do.
Nick, I imagine you've got your Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, it's tough to win in New England 2 years in a row, so I'm not exactly mad at the Chiefs for losing on Sunday. Yes, give me Kansas City.
Kansas City for Coach Wyke. The coin says Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. And St. Jen, which way are you going, Ty and Grant?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Now we get to Monday nights where the New York Giants, outside of Saquon Barkley, I've just looked absolutely atrocious. The line can't block. Eli Manning has lost it. I have no issue saying that now. It breaks my heart after all these years, but he is not the quarterback he once was, and it's not like he was Peyton Manning to begin with. So time to start looking at quarterbacks for the future. I'm already looking at Drew Locke a lot. Going to start looking at some Justin Herbert, some Will Greer. That's where my focus is turning for the New York Giants quarterback.
Don't forget about Michael
Scarnecchia. Drew Locke is third on my board.
Hey,
don't
forget about Michael Scarnecchia, please.
Yes.
That's what he's really
Matt, is anyone going with the Giants in this game, by the way? I think we can wrap this up pretty quickly.
No, he's not. No. He's not.
No.
You're not.
St. Jen?
You're
no? Not. Let's see if the coin is picking the Giants.
Well,
if you could flip it.
You had two in a row. You were close to making it three in a row. But, you know, then you didn't.
Giants, man.
Oh,
let's go.
So I'm going to be rooting for the coin against myself, but I always go with my brain over my heart in these picks. So I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons. That's going to wrap things up for the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. We'd like to thank Ty Brown and Grant Staffin for jumping on with us with the NFL Pick'em. Always enjoy having you guys on, and it's a team effort. You know, you and the other players throughout the listening area working together to hopefully do well and move up from fifth place in the rankings right now. So thanks again for joining us, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is them. And Matt, final thoughts as we head into the final week of the season?
Well, actually, I was going to just promote our broadcast tomorrow of Hillsboro-Perryville, Class 3 sectional softball action on KGF and KREI. Pregame beginning at 5:15. The Pirates coming in at 9-13. The Hawks 19-9 against the Class 3 sectionals. So that means each team is four wins away from a state championship, and their state run begins tomorrow at 5:15.
And Nick, you're going to be on with Chad for Midnight Madness tomorrow night as well.
Yep, Mac against West Plains is going to open us up for volleyball, and then we'll kind of get to the activities. Not exactly sure what's going to take place, but you'll see some basketball, maybe some three-point shootout type of stuff, maybe a few dunks, things like that. So if you like volleyball and basketball, tune in.
A little bit of like a teaser of what's to come for the season.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's kind of the point. And I think they've kind of done it every year. So it's just a fun little event. And I don't know at least for me, I'm kind of familiar with something called Late Night in the Fog back home in Lawrence, which KU does every you know, October-ish time to promote the basketball team. So it's kind of like that if you're familiar.
A lot of schools have their own type of thing.
Kentucky
has
different
names. Yeah. My alma mater, University of New Haven, they called it Midnight Madness as well. So everyone has that kind of thing just to get everyone ready and prepared for basketball season, pumped up as well. That's Nick Lewis. I'm Sean Malone. We'd like to thank the rest of the regional radio sports staff, Matt Greenwood, KGF Sports Director, Andy Humphrey, along with Program Director Chad Speaker, and Derek back in the studio on the ones and twos, as well as St. Genevieve head coach Ken Wyke and a number of his players that he brought out with him this evening. Thank you for making us a part of your Tuesday night. Again, the games that we have coming up this week in football. On Thursday night, it's Troy Buchanan at Festus on AM 1400 KGF. That'll have a 7 o'clock kickoff and a 6:45 Fleeks Equipment pregame show. On Friday, Farmington visits Central on AM 800 KREI. Potosi is at DeSoto on J98. Valley Catholic, they'll visit St. Pius on your Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV. And Poplar Bluff is at Hillsboro on AM 1400 KJFF. On behalf of the rest of the regional radio sports crew, one more time, thank you for making us a part of your Tuesday evening. Have a good one.